And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him. My client, the Honorable Henry T. Fleming, should go right to fucking jail. The son of a bitch is guilty. That man is guilty. That man there, that man is a slime. He is a slime. If he's allowed to go free, then something really wrong is going on.
Mr. Kirkland, you are out of order.
You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order. They're out of order. It's just a show. It's a show. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Hey, Frank, you want to make a deal? I got an insane judge who likes to beat the shit out of women. What do you want to give me, Frank? 3 weeks probation?
Damn it.
You son of a bitch, you. You're supposed to stand for something. You're supposed to protect people, but instead you fucking murder them. You kill McCullough. You killed him. Hold it. Hold it. I just completed my opening statement.
Listening to Nowhere a Moment, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
The ambassadors are Jedi Knights, I believe.
I knew it. They're here to force a settlement.
Distract them.
Are you brain dead?
Well, no, but I don't... I want droidickers up here at once!
They're no match for droidickers.
Sir, they've gone up the ventilation shaft.
Danger hides in the stars. This is the world of Jason of Star Command. A space-age soldier of fortune determined to stop the most sinister force in the universe. Dragos, master of the cosmos. Aiding Jason in his battle against evil is a talented team of experts, all working together in a secret section of Space Academy. Jason of Star Command.
I'm reloaded! Okay? Come on in here, motherfuckers! Come on, I'm waiting for you. What, you ain't coming in? Okay, I'm coming out. Are you up against me now, motherfucker? I'm gonna blow your fucking brains out. You think you're big time? You're gonna fucking die, big time. You ready? Here come the pain.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Hoo-ha! Hey, everyone! Woo-hoo! Yeah! Hey! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! everyone. It's time for Nowhere Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. Ah, yes, I got it out. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. It's time to talk about all of our favorite things. And I just have to say that if you want to get right, you better get right with me. That's all I have to say. I played that.
I have no idea what that means.
I don't either, but I played that in honor of Mercy. It's been canceled, but I would never listen to that song otherwise, but except it's the theme music, and that's what we do here on the show. You know,
Poor Mercy. We
honor television and our favorite
fallen
shows.
Heroes.
Yeah, our fallen heroes, and one of those fallen heroes is Steven. He's not here right now. You know, we all know,
but I'm sure he's rapidly approaching on his motorcycle.
Steven is kind of like a rock star. He's on his own time. Am I right?
He is. He is our rock star. He's not only a pop culture zealot, he is a rock star.
Yeah, Steven does whatever he wants.
Yeah. He's rock star supernova.
Big time. But hey, Bill, I'm really excited to do the show today because, you know, we're going to talk about the Fringe finale. Huh? Mm. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only finale. Smallville finale. Can't forget about
that. Yes. How did you forget Smallville?
How could I possibly forget about Smallville? I don't know. But
Tom Welling's not happy.
he shouldn't be happy because I heard that next season's the last season of Smallville. The writers have decided we need to start answering our mysteries and come to a close.
You know, if it actually had any mysteries, maybe I would care about watching it regularly.
I just can't get past how it's so ridiculous that he doesn't fly.
That is really irritating.
It's funny that those, what are they called? The Kardashians?
Kandorians.
Oh, the Kandorians. Okay. They can instantly fly as soon as they get their powers. This guy's had his powers his whole life and he can't fly. It makes no sense.
He hasn't put two and two together yet.
Yeah, that's getting a little ridiculous. But next week we have, of course, this Sunday is the Lost finale. We also have the 24 finale, the Celebrity Apprentice finale. I believe tonight might be the Kitchen Nightmares, the huge finale, Bill, where he goes back to previous restaurants again.
I thought it was where he like blew up a restaurant with dynamite.
Well, you know what it is? They show clips of him visiting the old restaurants for half the show and then about 2-minute wrap-up of what they're doing in the restaurant now.
Mm. What are they going to do about the Celebrity Apprentice finale with
I don't know.
Bret Michaels having a TIA here this past couple days ago.
Everything was looking optimistic. He was on Oprah this week, and you know, he said he was still having a little bit of head pain, but he was
doing
a lot
better.
You know
what's really bad about the TIA after you have a hemorrhage like that? What? The big one's not far away.
Oh, man. And he can't travel at all. He's stuck there.
No. It's not looking good, honestly. If he has a reoccurrence so soon,
that's one thing. Like, I had no idea that he would be. I honestly thought it would be like Sharon and Holly, and we'll talk about this later. If we're talking about Celebrity Apprentices early.
Well, but if they wanted to make it interesting,
you can't tell me that there have been like this whole time going, what the hell are we gonna do? You know what I mean? It's just like, dude, what are we gonna do?
And I would have liked to see Maria crash and burn just to look at her another week.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see this, listen to this clip later of Maria. But anyway, Bill, you know, one thing that's been exciting this week is that a new game has come out called Red Dead Redemption.
Wait a second. What was that? What's that called?
Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption. It just came out on multi-platform. Am I right?
Yeah.
And
there was a couple games this week. Red Dead Redemption is probably the most notable, but there was also Alan Wake, which is getting a lot of good word of mouth. I decided to wait on it. And a great racing game called Split Second, which is kind of like The Running Man with cars.
Oh, cool.
It's a really cool game. I haven't played it yet, but I bought it.
So if you drive past a certain line, your head blows up, or?
Well, I mean, it's like a TV show, and as you earn, like, you know how in Burnout you earn boost Well, in this, you earn the ability to set off chain reactions of explosions and stuff to try to derail your opponents.
Nice.
So it's a really interesting game. I played the demo and was thoroughly entertained by the one course.
Doesn't that drive you nuts, though, how like multiple games come out in the same week? But I guess, honestly,
this is a really bad week for that because you have to choose. You right. know that Rockstar's Red Dead Redemption. Jesus, I'm doing it now.
Red Dead Redemption. How about we just call it Red Dead?
Yeah, Red Dead is going to be long. You know, you just know it. Because GTA 4, probably 40 hours. And Red Dead Redemption right now, I don't know how many hours I'm into it. Probably 25, 30. Yeah. And I know there, I still have a lot left on it. I want to play it. I was going to do the multiplayer free roam with some people after the show. But I'm at the point in the game right now where I'm so on edge. I just want to, like, get to the ending because I know it's there.
You're in the meat of the story.
I am in, like, I'm so close to the epilogue. I know it.
Nice. And here, tell me this much about the game. But wait, before you do, there's some guy sitting next to me.
Yeah, I heard this like heavy breathing.
Who are you?
Next to you?
This sneaker.
Hey, everyone, it's Steven the Bob Culture Zealot. Hey, Steven, how's it going?
Good.
We were just talking about a new game that Bill got called Red Dead Redemption.
I've seen his post on Facebook.
It's a you may have seen the commercials. It's a Western game by the makers of Grand Theft Auto. And let's face it, those guys know how to make a game. Am I right, Bill?
They really, really do.
Those guys, Grand Theft Auto 4, I love the storyline of that. And I even love the biker one. What was that called? The follow-up chapter?
Lost in the Damned, yeah.
Lost in the Damned. I haven't finished Gay Tony yet, but
Gay Tony is fun. It's very funny. And there's some...
Oh, you remember
the guy from Grand Theft Auto 4, Brucey, the, like, meathead?
Yeah.
Well, his brother shows up in Gay Tony, and there are some hilarious scenes between Brucey and his brother. If you thought Brucey was bad...
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Wait till you meet his brother.
Now, let me ask you that about Red Dead... Is the writing equally as sharp and witty in that?
I think the writing has actually improved. I have been moved while playing it. I have laughed out loud while playing it. The writing is top notch. I mean, it's just
awesome.
I think that's kind of become a hallmark for Rockstar games is the dialogue and the stories.
Definitely. I can't wait to play this game, Bill, because just what I see from the commercials, it looks gorgeous.
It is. You're a character named John Marston, of a questionable background.
Related to Hubie Marston, maybe? Or
No.
Good.
He's escorted into town by a couple federal agents and sent on his way on a task to... reclaim some of his old gang members, and it kind of goes from there. And it's just his experiences from starting out and then finding people, and eventually you make your way all the way into Mexico looking for him. It's incredibly deep game.
And, like, the weapons and stuff like that are badass, or...?
Well, I mean, you have your typical weapons of that period.
Right.
You know, you have your revolvers, your shotguns, your rifles. You can buy them from different vendors and from different towns. I think I might have actually even looted a pump action shotgun at some point.
Nice.
Off of someone. I haven't used it yet, though.
Now, but is the character interaction awesome?
Oh, it really is. What's great about Red Dead is the world is so wide and there's so many side quests. Like, let's say I'm just riding my horse from one town to another to complete a quest, and somewhere along the way, there's someone on the side of the road saying, "Help me, help me." And you decide to get down off your horse and give them a check it out.
Right.
And it's an ambush.
Oh, nice. I mean, do you feel like you're a cowboy as you're playing it? You're like
immersed.
Absolutely,
yeah. It's funny. There's this really great subtext to the game about finding your own way in life and being responsible for your actions.
Nice.
The game opens up with this great scene on the train of a young girl and a preacher talking about faith and how they just kind of talk about this having this blind faith and depending on God for everything instead of making your own choices.
Right.
And not depending on something that is unprovable, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's throughout the entire game, there's this great subtext of making your own choices that I find, you know, it's really not that subtle. If you have a brain, you pick up on it.
It's almost like Lost. You could either find answers for yourself or listen to and believe what this person is saying and just take it at face value.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got to make up your own mind. It's great to have faith. It's great to believe in something, but you can't lose your direction of what your life is.
Right. And you can't just live like a veal your whole life.
Yeah, it's a huge part of the game.
Awesome.
This guy's trying. It's called redemption because he's made so many bad choices in his life. He grew up in a gang, and now he's trying to make things right. He has a family. He has a wife. He has a son. His daughter died early on from a sickness, and he's just trying to get his life right.
I got the idea just by the commercial, kind of like that archetype of like Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven. He was like a really bad man, but he doesn't want to be anymore.
Absolutely. That's it. That's dead on it.
And we're just drawn to those kind of stories. They're, you know, I love that kind of story.
Yeah. And, you know, as you move along in the storyline, there's you try to figure out how or why people are playing you, because really all this guy wants is to complete his quest and go back to his family. And you have so many people using him and him just letting them use him because he's become defeated at this point in life where he just wants to get things done and he wants to go back to normal.
Let me ask you this. Are there moments in this game? One of the things I loved about Grand Theft Auto 4, they give you certain moments where like there was two brothers. One was a cop, one was a criminal, and you were actually working for both of them. Each one of them wanted you to kill the other one. And there was this moment where you're on a building top and you had a sniper rifle and you had to choose which one you were going to kill and which one you're going to stay loyal to. And that would affect the outcome of the game. And I thought that was awesome. And I really just had – I was sitting there on the roof, you know, with the guys in my sight going left to right like, which one – and you're kind of thinking about how they treated you before and things they've said and you decide. And then you have to finish the game like that.
Honestly – there haven't been any of those serious a moment that would dictate how the rest of the game plays out. There are decisions you have to make, whether to capture and kill or a lot of bounties. You can collect bounties in towns for cash. You can go out and take out the crew and then capture the bounty alive or kill them. But you'll get more money if you bring them back alive. There's little choices at the end of quests where whether or not somebody should live or die, or not so much live or die, I should say, but as you should kill them or someone else should kill them.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just there's nothing as deep as Grand Theft Auto 4 here. And I think that's because these guys had a story they wanted to tell.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I have to say the score to the game is fabulous, and there are moments where they actually use
Ennio Morricone
lyriced music.
Oh, okay.
And it just blows you away.
Awesome.
It's the way it's used And it's so cinematic, you riding on your horse from one place to another, and this music kicks in, and you're like, what? What is this? And then it just, it looks so amazing to just be riding along to the horse, the hoof beats on the ground, and then the music playing, and it's just so cinematic.
That's awesome.
There are so many great elements to this game. I do have to say that it drags a little bit once you get into Mexico, because you got so many people asking for your help and playing you and all that, that it just kind of, you're almost like, oh, come on, just shoot them. Just get it over with. Do what you got
to
do.
They like to, I think maybe like you can just take your time playing the game, doing different side missions and stuff like that. They kind of try to make it deep that way.
Yeah, and there's a lot of little tasks, like there's different skills that you can raise up. There's treasure hunting, where you get a map and you have to find a treasure, and I think there's 9 treasures. There's hunting, where you can, you know, you go out and you kill some rabbits or beavers or coyotes. You know, the entire place is littered with animals. It's a real living world.
Sweet.
Shoot birds, take their feathers. You know, you can sell the hides, the feathers, the meat that you get from these things while you're scaling up. There's a survivalist thing where you go out and collect flowers or plants.
Does it have the real weather system kind of thing?
Yes, it does. You'll be riding along and you'll see the clouds move in and it'll start storming really bad. The wind will kick up.
Oh, you know one thing? Here's what I wondered. Are there Indians in the game? Like the old-fashioned, like, Western Indians?
Not like kind of Indians, but there are natives.
You're not going to run across.
The game takes place very late. Okay. In the West. Like, there's electricity, there's cars.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like during the last days of the Wild West.
At this point in the game, do you feel like a total badass, your character?
No, because I haven't been playing it like that.
Oh, okay.
I've kind of been playing it as a guy who just wants to get back to his family and will do what he has to do, but... when there's people that are asking for his help and genuinely need it, I help them.
You haven't been playing it like a total scumbag.
Yes,
just
you can play it as an outlaw.
People. Yeah,
you know, but I just don't have that in me. In every game that I've ever played, where there's a choice whether to be good or bad, I always go good. I can't help it.
Could you play it like Russell Crowe in Yuma, where you're like you quote Shakespeare, but you're a cold-blooded killer?
Well, I think that John Marston is barely literate.
Oh.
So, but he's more street smarts than book smarts.
You're gonna fucking die, big time.
Whoa! What the hell?
There are moments you like that where you'll be running. Someone will come across and they will start yelling at you like that.
And
there's
these.
There's these great moments where you'll be walking through town, and as you do things, your fame level goes up. And the more famous you get, the more people want to challenge you.
Right.
So you'll be walking through a town to stop at like a general store to load up on some ammo or sell off some stuff that you looted or got from different people or from hunting. And somebody will come out and want to challenge you to a duel. So you can choose whether or not to do it, but the duels are very cool. I still haven't got the mechanics down perfectly. There are times where I will become dead. You get shot and just is dead. But whenever it works, it's very cool.
You know what's so interesting about the genre of Westerns, like characters like, say, Doc Holliday, you couldn't really call them exactly a great human being, but also at the same time, he's a great and loyal person to Wyatt Earp. But I mean, would you want to hang out with Doc Holliday?
Or he's a flawed character.
Someone like Johnny Ringo, you would call a very bad man. I mean, the guy will kill a priest. He doesn't care. But
yeah,
I mean,
he has no scruples.
It, you know, I'm just talking about in Western film, you know, this kind of the
flawed hero or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, it's Wyatt Earp.
Even the man with no name, Clint Eastwood's character, he's
not good and he's not bad. He kind of plays the middle line.
I mean, he's a bounty hunter. He'll use the same criminal over and over again and turn him in and get the bounty, then let him go and then save him again from being hanged and then get the money again and split it with the criminal. I mean, he'll do that, but he'll also kill if he needs to. But it's interesting, like... that's interesting. I'm curious how the game kind of figures that out as you're playing it. That's pretty neat. Yeah,
it's the choices you make. You there's honor points also. The more good you do, the more honor you get. The less good you do, the more infamous you become.
Oh.
I knew it.
It's damn Nemoidians. Can you believe those guys?
Are you brain dead?
Well, that sounds really cool, Bill. I can't wait to play that. But unfortunately, I probably never will. So it's just kind of sad. I'll play Angry Birds on the iPod.
Hey, that's a great game, too. Great story there.
They'll do Old West Angry
Crazy
Birds.
Crazy green pig-like things are stealing eggs from birds.
Angry
and
Birds of the
angry.
Old West. Yes. Hey, I wanted to say something real quick. Today, my daughter graduated from kindergarten. So, congratulations to her. We went to the graduation this morning, and it was really funny. It's just cute, you know, a bunch of kids singing, and then they go up and they get the paper. I will say this, though. I'm kind of embarrassed for some adults, the way they behave, how impatient they act, and just people can be assholes. And I just... I'd like to say that I go into something like that with a positive attitude. It's about my daughter. I saw a couple of people complaining how long they had to wait. And it's just like, you know, chill out, dude. You're there for your child.
So they didn't do graduation in kindergarten.
But isn't that just a perfect
little
commentary on our society right now?
I saw one guy, he got up. He was going to go take some pictures of his daughter, like, sitting up there. I don't know, even if it was his daughter or his son. I don't have no idea who it was. But they were like, could all the parents please sit down in the back? We need to get started. And he came back. He's like, oh, hell, I was about to take some pictures. And they tell me to sit down, dipshits. And he says it like real loud. And people are kind of like murmuring like, what the? Who is
Wow.
It? Wow. You're a pretty classy dude, man, around this kindergarten class. Friggin' white trash asshole. I mean, it's just like, dude, shut up. I don't understand.
Why are you even sending your kids to school?
Couldn't you raise them in the back of your trailer and teach them all they need to know?
Can't you homeschool? You can teach them how to run the meth lab.
I'm going to blow your fucking brains off!
Oh, dear.
I tell you, them kids would know the metric system really well.
Now, guys, we have a couple of voicemails. Just two. And I listened to this first voicemail and I got nothing. I don't know who sent it. I don't know who the name is. It's just kind of there. I won't set it up or anything. I don't know what to think.
And so you want us to take it at face value?
Yes. In fact, I'm going to go make a sandwich while this is playing. So, okay. All right, everybody. Here's a voicemail. I'll be right back.
Oh, no worry. This is Julia Child calling, and I just wanted to know if you liked butter. I'm here with a friend of mine who knows how to make really good food. The food is made of different meats. The meats have liquor in them and different other delicious things, such as sausage, and with me I have my friend, Elf Roman.
Hey, Julia, this is me, Al. Sorry, I just started, salivating over a couple chunks of meat that were just lying in front of me. Anyways, I just want to, the theater the other day, brought a couple sausages with me. Real good. Pork sausages.
Well, Al, that's very exciting. What movie did you end up seeing?
Well, I ended up seeing Julia and Julia. Real good movie.
Oh, that's a great movie. I saw it, too. It was really good.
Yeah. You know what they say, though? You know, the early bird gets the worm. And so, it's just like, I went and saw that movie. It was good. I made some sausage. I brought it. It was delicious. That's it. You know, Mulberry, I've listened to you for many years, and I want you to know that there's a man named Andrew Hubert. This is a fictional character, so do not worry. His name is Andrew Hubert, though.
Andrew, he's a wonderful man, a wonderful guy.
Andrew, really is a good, you know, lover of meats. So, thanks, Mulberry.
All right, we got another voicemail. This one from Rick. Hey, Rick, how's it going? Let's check it out.
Hi, guys. It's Rick. Hey, welcome back to another Rick voicemail. Get your Rick fix right now. That was a good intro, Rick. I like that. So I listened to last week's show. I was like, I probably should have mentioned what happened in It's Complicated. And you're like, well, Rick, are you talking about It's Complicated again? I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm disappointed in myself as well. Don't worry about it. Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin are lying in bed together post-sex. And they've got the, you know, Meryl Streep, the classic Hollywood, you know, woman covered over nipples, men covered to just below the nipples. And they're lying there, and he just reaches over and gives her a Michael Jackson groin grab, like a deep one. And I'm like, holy crap, you know, because there's no, they don't really touch women on that area very often in movies. And this was like a full shot, boom, grabbed it. I'm like, holy crap, he just grabbed her vagina. What the hell? Anyway, moving along, I just want to thank Bill for your epic knowledge. I was playing Battlefield Bad Company 2 through the campaign, and their Scalar weapon made this noise. Bomb! Bomb! And I was like, where the hell do I know that from?
I like that impression, Bill.
Couldn't think. And I thought, you know who would know? Bill would know. So, emailed Bill. Bill, what's this noise, the Scalar weapon from Battlefield Bad Company 2 goes, bomb, bomb, straight away. Well, not straight away, but he was like, boom, there's your answer, District 9. And I was like, yeah, there's your answer. Because there's no way I could have found out without Bill's epic knowledge, because you can't just type in bomb into Google and they'll tell you sounds that may be similar to. But I knew Bill would know, and I really appreciate it, because I was losing my shit playing it, and I couldn't play without knowing where that came from. So thanks, Bill. I bow down to your epic and all-knowing knowledge of everything. So have a great show, guys, and I will talk to you later. Bye. This was Rick from Australia.
Oh, you thanks, Rick. It's good
Did
to
he
hear
mess
from you.
Around with the
Whoa. Is that the sound he's talking about, Bill?
No.
Oh, that's not it's it?
That, no, it's that. That.
That's not it? That's the sound of the weapon in a Bad Company. What is he talking about?
No, it's like the charge up. Or, you know, like whenever... At the very beginning, when the guys during World War II were taking the Japanese scientist from that base, and the thing starts to charge up, and they go, I don't like that sound.
Right. That's what the sound is.
Oh, yeah. That is what it is. Yeah, that's it. That's it. I couldn't hear it right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just
it was all distorted over Skype. So
okay. Let's take a listen to this. And that sound is also in District 9, right? Of the mothership?
Yeah, the mothership.
That's an awesome sound, because I love that part of the game where you're in the jungle and all of a sudden you start hearing that. And it's like, what the hell is that? Is that the friggin' smoke monster? What the hell's going on? That's really awesome, though.
That's honestly what I thought it was at first. there's that sound that the smoke monster made in the first season of Lost, like whenever it would crush the trees and all that,
yeah,
when everyone
that.
Thought it was a dinosaur.
Kind of sound.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just making sounds now. All right. Bomb. Honk, honk. Yeah.
Honestly, though, Rick sounded a little bit like Buffalo Bill there. There was some, a little extra overmodulation on that sucker.
Bomb. Wow. Yeah, that's it.
That's the sound.
That's the sound he meant to do. All right, well, that pretty much is the voicemail.
Man, we got a shitload of feedback this week. I feel so honored.
Yeah, we got Swiley and somebody else, and feedback sucked this week. Wow.
I love how it's feast or famine.
It really is. It's like, does anyone listen to the show? Jesus.
Well, we know they listen. They just don't feel like getting back to us on it.
Yeah, honestly, there's some weeks where it's like, hey, this is great, or some week it's just like, I need something to motivate me to do a show this week. Let's see if anybody... Nope, nobody said anything. Hey, should we bother, Bill? You know, we're honestly
just
like...
Just be your all-singing, all-dancing monkeys.
And the thing that motivated me to do the show this week is we have a Lost and a Fringe... we have Fringe finale this week, and then next week Lost... I don't want to skip this week. Next week we're talking about Fringe, 24, Celebrity Print, like all these finales would just be overwhelming. So I figured we'd do one this week and next week and then take the summer off, basically.
We need a clip of that horrible song that let us entertain you.
Totally. Exactly. Exactly. All right, guys, let's check out entertainment. MacGruber came out this week.
Oh, it did?
Just kidding. Yeah, it did. MacGruber and Shrek 3D. I will most likely see Shrek 3D first.
Wow, Shrek 3D?
Shrek 3D.
I guess I knew it was coming, but...
Also available in 2D. That's my favorite thing about commercials of movies that are in 3D now. They do the you know, it's like, oh, I can't see it now because I don't like 3D. Or, you know, my eyes don't work right. Or it's like, oh, you're shit out of luck, man. Because they don't make that in 2D at all. It's like, wow, I can never see
that.
You'll
have to wait for the DVD.
I say this. Okay, if you're going to have a movie like MacGruber, make it 3D because it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's like, don't... I'd say any shitty movie, you know, it could be slightly funny or whatever, but it's just stupid. Make those movies 3D. Am I right?
I haven't made my my distaste for Saturday Night Live obvious enough, I guess. And I'll just say that MacGruber is easily one of the worst sketches they've come up with.
Well, it's
and
the same
sketch.
And for
them to go, let's make a movie out of it...
All I'll say is this. They made a movie out of Superstar. They made a movie out of the Ladies Man. They'll make a movie out of
Superstar
anything.
And Ladies Man go direct to video?
Kind of
like
so.
It's Pat.
I think they
remember that disaster?
They were released in the theaters,
were in the theater, just it may not have
briefly.
Been a whole
But that's
time.
The thing. That's what they do. They some skit or whatever. I don't get it myself.
Why didn't they just make a mango thing with the...
I'm surprised they didn't, honestly.
What the hell was that asshole's name? Catan?
Chris Catan.
Yeah, Chris Catan. Yeah. He's a huge star now. But also, I'll just let that hang in the air there for a bit.
I do like Val Kilmer's name in the movie, the villain.
I guarantee you, I will eventually see this, Bill. I'll go and tell me his name. I didn't mean to talk over you like this.
Dieter von Kunth.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
But I expect the movie to be stupid funny, but, you know, I'm going to watch it on HBO in like 6 months
from
now.
I'll reserve judgment, but I know stupid will definitely be part of the review.
When we went to see The Losers, I believe, it might have been The Losers, we're sitting there in the theater, and we saw a trailer to Step Up to the Streets 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And I turn to my wife and I go, we're seeing that shit. Why not? You got to make those movies in 3D, right?
Absolutely. I want to see all the ass gyrating in
3D. Yes. Awesome. Wow. That's all I got.
Yeah, next week we get Prince of Persia and Sex and the City 2.
Prince of Persia.
Big
week. You know, I might see Prince of Persia just based on Gemma Arterton. She's my movie crush right now, so I might go see it. I mean, talk about a movie that has too much CGI, Bill. I could already tell from the trailer. Is anything real in this movie?
I think Mark Miller, who did Kick-Ass, he reviewed the movie on his forum and basically said it's a piece of shit.
It looks like just ridiculous, like noise and racket and sand flying everywhere, yeah, that kind of thing.
He said that Jake Gyllenhaal can't carry a movie.
You know what was funny is we were at Target today buying some stuff for Emma for her graduation, and Heather was like, why do they have Prince of Persia Legos? Shouldn't they wait to see if the movie's a flop or not? I was like, yeah, they probably should. Oh, and one of the funniest things I've ever heard my wife say, they had this display, Bill, with $9.99 Blu-rays. Okay? Just picture that. A bunch of different Blu-rays. You're going to think, wow, there's mostly shit on there. But they had Blazing Saddles. They had Dogma. They had a couple of movies that are like, hey, hell yeah, those are good. But Heather goes, Jason, I can't say this without laughing, but she said, Jason, Righteous Kill for $9.99. And I went, yeah. She was like, but I've heard you talk about this. And I was like, jokingly.
That was a Righteous Kill.
Righteous Kill. But I love that. Hey, Righteous Kill for $9.99. She's like, you know what? That sounds about right. Maybe $5.99.
How could a movie with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro go so wrong?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Righteous Kill.
Awesome. But it's just funny because she hears in the background me saying Righteous Kill like a million times, like last summer or whatever. She's like, Jason really wants to see that movie, I bet. I'm going to pick this up for him. It's like, no, I'm not.
I know she's not in on the conversation on the other end on Xbox Live.
It's like,
she
yeah.
She doesn't get we're making
she's
fun of it.
She's in the room and she just hears us talking. It's like when we're doing the show, right. She's in the room. She doesn't know what the hell we're talking about. She just hears us.
Last summer, because we were playing Battlefield Bad Company so much, and they had those horrible posters up for it, that every time we killed someone, we'd go, that was a Righteous Kill.
I think I will pick it up. $9.99.
Sounds like a bargain.
Righteous Kill.
Awesome. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVos. Man, why'd I do that? All right, guys.
You're going to give yourself an aneurysm like Brett Michaels.
It's going to just pop.
Are you brain dead?
Hey, Nemoidian Newt Gunray or whatever. That's some bad taste talking about Brett Michaels. Now, guys, a new show premiered this week called The Good Guys. Did anybody get to check that out with
yes.
Bradley Whitford and Colin Hanks? I thought it was pretty silly.
It's very silly.
The gunfights are ridiculous. I love that there's this out-of-shape Bradley Whitford jumping and sliding across things while shooting two guns.
I love his piece of shit Trans Am.
He's the most beautiful car he's ever seen.
The gunfight in the pawn shop.
Yeah, it's just they're shooting everything. Yeah. Nobody's hitting anything.
The humidifier.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Bradley Whitford's character, and I didn't even realize it took place in Dallas.
Yeah.
And how funny is it that Fair Park, his trailer's like right there, like in Fair Park. It's like, why would he live right where this freaking place is?
I had no idea it was set in current day, present time, yeah, from the commercials. I thought it was in the 70s.
My favorite part is when it starts out with a robbery and the guy's got – he's going to steal a TV. He's like, what the hell? It's got an old, like, tube television. He drops it and just shatters into pieces. It's like, yeah, that's no good. But I got a clip here, and it pretty much shows why I love Bradley Whitford's character, because he has this strange kind of way he thinks, kind of old school, but he doesn't believe in certain things. One of them, he doesn't believe in DNA, and he doesn't trust computers. Let's check this out.
Focus on the lab results, please.
Yeah, lab results. I'm not sure I believe that there's little things in your blood floating around carrying the so-called, you know, DNA.
You don't believe in blood cells.
I'm just saying the jury's out. There's Julius Grant.
According to the precinct system computer, he's been arrested 5 times for burglary. What do you want to bet the humidifier is right there in the pawn shop?
Computers. I can't get used to them. Aren't you worried they're going to, you know, turn on you?
I'm not particularly worried my computer's going to attack me, no.
Sometimes I look at the one in the office, it's like it's thinking, you know, making plans, you know?
Well, if someone decides to rise up and overthrow humanity, it's a pretty good tool for police work.
I don't know, some things computers can't do. Did I ever tell you about the time Frank and me found 5,000 platelets?
In a sock monkey? Yeah, you did.
Well, the point is, we didn't need a computer. We had a hunch. Just started cutting open sock monkeys.
Well, that's great. You know, if you see any sock monkeys in there, feel free to knife one for me.
No,
okay?
You're missing the point. There is a larger picture that you can't see.
No. Stop. All right? There is no big picture, okay? There are no major criminals. There are no quaaludes. It's just a thrift store and a stolen humidifier.
What the hell is going on?
God, why are you asking me? Hey, where are you going?
Going in, just cover me.
Well, are you serious? You drank a quart of bourbon in the car.
That's a fifth.
I just love that the gunfights just destroy everything. Nobody hits anything. Nobody gets shot. And
it makes me laugh every time the Bradley Whitford character tries to jump in the car like he's super badass. Clumsily falls into it.
Or is it his old partner is in a mental institution or something?
Something.
Because he once convinced him to jump out of a moving car. So I don't know what the... But, you know, this is a kind of show, it's just ridiculous. But I just worry it's on Fox. It'll last, what, like 6 episodes and be gone forever?
I'd give it 2 more.
The guy I work with said they filmed one of those in his old apartment, one of the scenes.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's awesome. And it looks like a fun show, but I automatically know, Jason, don't fall in love with it.
It's fun.
Don't ever fall in love. You're like the bodyguard, okay?
Wow, you went there.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you guys ever taken a samurai sword and dropped satin cloth on it? Okay, whatever. Celebrity Apprentice, guys. Let's check it out. Let's see if Bret Michaels died. You know, I hope the guy's okay, seriously. But
I hope he's okay, too. But honestly, any day now, I expect to be opening up the internet browser and seeing Bret Michaels dies.
Yeah, I saw him on Oprah, and his daughters were interviewed about they thought their dad was going to die. And I was just kind of like, maybe they should wait till he's out of the woods before they have this show.
Yeah, exactly.
I just kind of...
You know, if you see any sock monkeys in there, feel free to knife one.
Okay, I'll stab in a sock monkey. But you know what's funny? This episode, it was the whittling down episode. Okay, we got to get rid of these people because we got to do the finale. So we got to see what we're going to do here. And like I said before, Bill, that I thought it would be Sharon and Holly. And there was, you know, I was genuinely uncomfortable by some of this stuff because they're talking about Holly and her autistic child and...
Went to some dark places.
Sharon, you know, she had cancer. You know, everyone has a valid reason. You know, Bret there, and his daughter, they've got diabetes.
Curtis has really stinky food.
Oh, that was what was funny is, you know, Trump is like, I've got to fire 2 people, right? I got to fire somebody. And then we're going to do interviews and get rid of the other people. So he's just waiting for something. just, you know, who would you fire? Who would you fire? He just goes back and forth, you know, all the way around. People are crying left and right. So finally he starts asking and people start saying, well, Maria. And they start saying that. And then she shoots herself in the foot. And I thought it was pretty funny. Let's check this out.
Who's our weakest player, Holly?
Weakest?
At the table right now, who's our weakest player?
I'd only say Maria because Maria, I think, is the player that comes from the least purest place sometimes.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's sometimes...
That's a hell of a statement.
I know, I'm just saying that okay. Sometimes...
Maria, that's a biggie.
No, I'm just saying that sometimes I've seen in the boardroom, Maria stick up for herself at the expense of someone else just to do it. Just to say it without any provocation or anything. So I think that's
does that make her weak, or does she have a survival instinct that maybe other people lack?
In my eyes, it's a weakness. In my eyes, there are other ways you can do it with integrity.
Maria, respond to that, please.
I never say anything that isn't supported.
So, Curtis, who's the weakest player at the table right now?
Maria is.
I think Maria. Well, there goes that relationship.
Just jumping on the bandwagon, that's okay.
I'm not jumping on
somebody else Maria with a different name.
Absolutely.
Why?
She made some really unfounded comments about me last week in the boardroom.
And you haven't forgotten it.
But so did Sharon.
No, of course I haven't forgotten it.
So you don't just forget. You don't just say, oh, gee, now we're friends.
And it was founded. I mean, the reason why I said that you were so arrogant is because you came in our dressing room and you took a crap and left the stench in the room. So that is the whole purpose of why I was upset.
That's not
exactly
true.
It wasn't your room. It wasn't your place to go.
Why is that arrogant?
It was complete, this is my room, so I can do this wherever I want to. So, I mean, that was the whole thing.
So it's like a dog?
It was completely found.
We so don't
random.
Need to go there.
That's so random.
We don't need to go there.
That's a little bit
we do
random, don't you think, as Holly would say? Isn't that a little bit random, that statement? That's pretty tough.
I think it's a good depiction of your character, though. It's a little bit below the belt, which I think...
That is a little below the belt.
That's
Mary,
how
you,
you play the game.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah. It certainly is.
Maria, do you sort of regret having said that?
Oh, jeez.
He said it was unfounded. It was unfounded. There was a reason. Did I say it in the last boardroom? No. I just said that I thought it was a little arrogant to come into our room and do that. But I...
Like her shit don't stink.
Right?
Isn't it sort of gross, though, bringing that up? It's like...
Let's hear some disgusting. Trump ADR. What do you guys say?
This is my boardroom. It's not a locker room. You're fired.
Oh.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You see all the Thanks. Smiles. Everyone's just...
Goes Get out of here with your potty mouth.
This experience that I've had on Celebrity Apprentice was amazing up until 10 minutes of it. 10 minutes. That's it. It wasn't even like, oh, well, you screwed up a task. It was like, oh, I didn't like your comment. Just, it's laughable.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
She's got a lot of growing up to do.
She did come off very, like, immature in that.
Yeah. Which she may be hot, but she is...
Well, it's the part where she goes, well, Sharon talked bad about him, too. You know, kind of like that. It seemed really childish. But, you know, they ended up picking Brett and Holly as the two final people, and they're going to do a thing for Snapple, come up with flavors. And I was like, they got the wrong partners. Why did they do that? They gave Brett summer.
Daryl Strawberry.
When I saw him, I was
Summer
like,
Sanders.
Dude, that is not fair, Daryl. He chose to go home.
Yeah.
Because he just didn't want to do this anymore. Why would he come back for that, you know? And then
maybe he needed more Coke money.
And Holly had Maria and Curtis, who get along really well, just as long as he doesn't take a crap in the room.
Yeah, no poos around her.
I mean, what are you going to do? You're on TV, and you know that's the way I'd be. It's like, I got to go. I can't go in the boardroom, you know?
She makes it sound like he just took a crap in the corner of the room.
Like, despite them. It's like, hey, guys.
Like, I don't like dude. You, so I'm going to take a massive dump right here in the corner.
And left the stench in the room.
Was he going to take it with him?
Hey, whose steaming pile is that? Well, that's mine. I'm Chef Curtis.
Maybe there wasn't any air spray.
We're some Glade already, you know?
A little Febreze.
Pour some Snapple on there. It might
stop. There's enough perfume in that shit to cover it up.
Well, you know, also later, Curtis has to, what would you call it? He is to convince Brett to give him certain flavor of Snapple. And he does
Brett,
it.
Brett was a pushover.
Yeah, he was just like, okay, take it or whatever. But then later on when they're taste testing at the mall, when Maria went and stole their drink just to taste it or whatever, I thought that was kind of tacky. I know it's just kind of a silly thing, but it's
of
just.
Of course it is. Just that's like, whenever you go, hey, I'd really like to try yours. Could you give me a sample?
Right.
I mean,
it's laughable.
I still don't know why Daryl Strawberry came back. What the hell? But I'm curious. I want to watch Celebrity Apprentice finale. Just curious to what they're going to do with Brett. But unfortunately,
he's not going to be able to be there live.
I know, but think about
he's
this.
He's going to have to be on like a screen somewhere.
Celebrity Apprentice airs the same time as the Lost finale.
Oh, shit. They don't got a chance.
What kind of ratings is this thing getting?
Zero. The only way that thing is going to get ratings is if Bret Michaels dies on the air.
People are going to have to tune. I see people tuning in who've never watched Lost. That's it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care about the stupid Lost show.
I'll be switching to it during the commercials just to see if he strokes out there on TV.
No, I hope Brett's in good health and he appears on there. Because otherwise, what the hell are they going to do? At the end, how is this Brett? I know you're going to die soon, but Holly, she's a new Celebrity Apprentice. How could you give it to Brett? He's not going to be able to do shit for a while, is he?
No.
Now, Brett, hop on a plane. I have a charity event I need you to go to. I can't really right now. I'm kind of busy.
Got a big tube coming out of my brain.
I mean,
wow.
That's a tough one.
It really is a tough one, you guys.
Yeah, and I felt bad because at the very end of the episode, it teased next week, and Brett's daughter's there, and she runs and goes, Daddy!
Right, yeah.
And it was just like, man.
I'm curious what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
But if you thought that would tug at your heartstrings, Bill, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares when he goes to Sushi Co. Huh? Gordon Ramsay, he's there to try out the sushi. And you know what's funny is they do like they do in every restaurant. And he goes, what's wrong with the restaurant? And they're like, well, I don't know. We don't have enough customers. Oh, I know that. But why? I don't know.
And food seems pretty good.
And then immediately the waitress is like, don't eat that. And it's and this dude's wife is insane.
Don't
she
eat the
there's
sushi.
A part where she starts kind of flip like going like we just wave and like, hey, come on in here or whatever. And the husband is like, I'm very embarrassed.
She's so controlling and bitter and just nasty.
Oh, but let's check out this part with the sushi pizza, Steven. We're going to have that after the show. Let's check it out.
What is the problem with Sushi Co?
We do not have enough guests.
Clearly there's no guests, but what's the problem? The main problem.
Which I do not know.
You know, we stand in the window and dance, trying to get people to come in. Hey,
you lift up the blinds. Does that...
Medication.
And that hasn't worked around here.
It hasn't worked.
I'm so embarrassed I can't believe she does it in front of Chef Ramsay.
I can't do anything unless I find out what the problems are. So, I'd like to eat. What would you recommend?
If you want to try something fusion, I have a sushi pizza. Which
a what?
Sushi pizza.
Japanese pizza.
They cued a lot of percussion there.
I don't like it.
Wow.
I'm not a big fan of any of our food. There's just like no flavor anymore because.
But you don't know what's wrong with the restaurant.
The kitchen.
I enjoy.
Lovely. Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Keep it.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Let's start with a little bowl of miso.
Okay.
And Akira mentioned this sushi pizza.
He recommended that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No.
No. I would not recommend the sushi pizza to anybody.
Go try the sushi pizza. Just out of curiosity.
Good luck.
Good luck. No one's afraid to share their opinion here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cicadas.
What is that?
Cicadas on the show than anything.
Sounds
great, huh?
I called out this
Oh, this made me gross out a hair in the cell.
Sorry.
Fish pizza.
Yeah. I'm nervous.
Just go with it.
I'm nervous.
Just go with it.
That's the sushi pizza.
It sure is. It's rice, salmon, crab, and mayonnaise.
mayonnaise?
Japanese pizza. That is rancid. You were right. That is an insult to pizza, yeah? And Japanese food.
Chef had fair warning that it was going to be terrible. Mm. I told him not to get it.
Where's the chef?
Wow. No. What? And then later on, the warm mayonnaise. Did you see that? He's like, why is this refrigerated? It doesn't come refrigerated. What if you open it, you're refrigerated? Oh, God.
That place, the guy was so sad.
Why? I want to know this. If he was like like this gifted, talented chef, why did he stop making stuff?
That woman, the woman he married.
Yeah, she just beat him down.
Sucked the life out of him.
Because even when he's like, you're going to be the chef tonight. You're going to cook. He's like, okay. And he's cooking. He's running around. She's like, he's not taking this seriously. He's not doing a good job. And she's just sitting there and they keep showing. I know the editing, but Gordon kept turning and looking at her like, whoa, whoa. And I love later on, he's like, what do you think you need to improve about yourself? And she's like, well, you know what he needs to improve? And she kept answering, goes, I need you to shut up for a minute. She's like, oh. And he's like, I need him to talk. And then, you know, of course, he has to give her, he's like, line up on this dude, okay? I mean, the son, you know what? Their young son, what was he, like 20 or 21 or something?
Yeah.
He'd loan them like $20,000 and stuff. Because
it was a lot of money.
And their daughter, who looked like she's like 10, is like 20 years old.
I was shocked by that. I'll tell you one thing. She needs to lay off the eyebrow.
Yeah, plucking. Stop plucking the eyebrow.
The plucking is getting a little overboard there.
But you know what? She probably wasn't plucking. She's probably just losing her eyebrow hair from stress.
Or she was sticking her head in the oven, singeing it off.
The coolest part of the episode is when they have that taiko drum music outside. I love that stuff.
That was cool.
I love that stuff.
I'm just glad I didn't see Bear McCreary in the background.
But, hey, we're going to have some sushi pizza for the whole audience in the chat room tonight, Bill.
With plenty of rancid mayonnaise.
Yeah, with warm mayonnaise. Got to love that.
Mm.
Now, Bill, let's talk about Top Chef Masters. This week they're not cooking kangaroo, which is good. Ross in the forum, he said that he actually loves kangaroo meat. So some people do see a kangaroo hot pot and go, I want to eat one of those. I'll have a bar of that.
You know, I've had very lean meat before, like buffalo is very, very lean. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's probably – he said you have to wash it a lot to get rid of the blood taste, okay, so it's gamey.
What's wrong with eating just steak, okay? I mean, why go through – I can understand. Okay, say there's nothing else there to eat. Okay. You know what? I'm starving. Let's go get one of those hoppy things. But there's plenty of other shit to eat. I don't understand. But I guess it's kind of like those Anthony Bourdain things. Where they're like, here, have this, duck feet. And it's like, what about the rest of the duck? Why do you got to eat the feet?
Oh, no.
I never understood
duck.
That, how they just like people in like Asian countries just gnaw on chicken feet.
Yeah, they're like fried chicken feet. And it's like, well, can I have a thigh?
What about the
rest? Yeah. It's like, can I have the leg the foot was attached to?
Here is candied beak dipped in chocolate. It's like, no, I don't want that shit.
Yeah, what about cox cones? the rooster cones?
Oh, I thought you said scones. Sorry. I thought you said scones at first. Rooster cock scone. Just like grandma used to make. But it's like, I guess other parts of the world, it's like, what are you throwing that out for? We can make shit with that? Come on.
Sorry, I don't want to eat any external cartilage body parts.
Why are you throwing away those testicles? That shit's good, man. Bring it over here.
Lots of protein in them.
Let me throw that shit.
Not whatnot.
Yeah. It explodes in tiny egg. Oh, that's so gross. Oh. Suitor last week talking about that. It still grosses me
out. I still have nightmares of the like when Fear Factor first came on the air.
Oh, I know.
One of the tasks was boiled bull testicles,
Jesus.
And they were like the size of a baseball each.
Dude, I don't understand why, okay, let alone the people participating in the show, why would anyone want to watch that on television, you know?
Honestly, I would watch it just to cringe. But this has nothing to do with fear.
This is a gross factor, you know, not really a fear, you know. People who are afraid of certain animals, a height.
It's like, it's not that I'm afraid of it. It's just that it's effing gross.
I mean, fear factor leads you to think that, you know, okay, they do a little test, okay, a little survey about you and figure out what you're afraid of. Okay, you're afraid of dark places and spiders and snakes.
They're gonna put you in sodomy. But before you do, let's all eat cow anus.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like,
is that on the list? He's afraid of sodomy. Let's make him eat an anus.
Let's eat like cow anus.
We're gonna put you in prison.
I've seen those where they had a thing where they had to draw straws, and depending on the size of the straw was the size of the penis you had to eat. Raccoon, bull, horse, you know, I mean, it's like you said, that's not fear factor, that's gross factor.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, let's watch this guy puke on TV.
I'm just glad it's not on the air anymore and that Joe Rogan is off doing his UFC commentary.
You know, when they were putting them in those little clear caskets and they had to unchain themselves while they were covered in spiders, okay.
Now, that would screw me up. I don't like
tight spaces or
spot, I'm very claustrophobic, and it's probably because I'm the size of a gorilla. So I'm like, I'm big, and I'll get stuck in something small. Like, I'm just very freaked out by small spaces. Like, I've had nightmares before where, like, I think it was one of those horrible, like, Discovery Channel explore the tomb of whoever things, and they had to go through this really tight, like, break in the wall, and I had a nightmare after I saw that I was stuck in the wall. And same with that movie, The Descent. I had nightmares of getting stuck underground in that thing. It just, I don't like tight spaces.
But see, I mean, that's a great fear game for you. Everything, all your games revolve around something just big enough for you to get through.
On the subject? I'm trying to talk about Top Chef.
I have no idea.
Top Chef Masters is about.
I take blame. I am sorry.
No. That's okay.
You got on kangaroo, but
I was thinking.
And
well, that was last week. I was just trying to segue into. And this week they're doing. They're cooking in parking lots. Wait, what do you call that, Bill? Tailgating.
Yes. What, you don't know what tailgating is?
Wasn't that hilarious that Suser just didn't get it? Oh, wait, does
Suser didn't get a lot of things in this episode.
I love that.
He kind of came across a little
didn't you love him,
bad.
Bill? He was like, oh, there's other chefs here. It's like, no, they're not chefs. They're just cooking their food before the game.
There was that one cringe-inducing moment where he said to the he's trying to be nice and jolly to the one chef. And he's like, you know, you would be great in The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And the guy just looks at him and goes, that's actually kind of an insult.
Yeah.
It's like Suser is so completely clueless.
Yeah, he's always in the guy's way, and he's like, you're my lucky charm. And he's just kind of like, yeah, F you.
Yeah, really.
And this is kind of like a medley of different moments in Top Chef. You got to have the Jonathan Waxman and the...
Why do they always do that to him?
I don't know.
He's not an idiot. He's not. Why must they play the music like he's a moron?
Well, no, it's the eerie music. Like he's got some kind of mystical powers, remember?
Oh, I'm talking about there's a moment where he goes into the pantry to look for, I think he was looking for spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
And they played this music like, dope, 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 dope. And it's just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
Let's go ahead and check this out. And I love the beginning of every Top Chef. I love how they have that, I'm talking here.
They can't get enough Rick Moonen.
That's already come and gone. Do they really have to milk that? All right, let's check this out.
For today's challenge, you'll get to prove who really has a leg up on the competition, because you'll be cooking with legs. One of our diners today definitely has legs and knows how to use them. Jason.
I watched Jason swim to a gold medal.
That was the worst
we're
pun
all
ever.
To reach for the gold medal at this point.
You would expect some attractive woman with long legs.
I was expecting ZZ Top. Legs.
Swimmers eat spaghetti like it's going out of style. I'm thinking swimmer, water, crab. Kind of a no-brainer. So there's a dish I do a lot, which is crab meat with mint and jalapenos.
And they're just milking this.
I literally hit the person playing that xylophone with one of their
intensity because you're so
sticks.
Tired.
And you know what's funny also is this guy's complaining about the judging has gotten stricter. When they do that little quick fire, the guy is just so bitchy about everything.
Yeah, that Jay Rayner, he woke up on the wrong side of bed or he's got something up his ass.
He's like, there's not enough in this salad. And the Olympic guy or whatever he did, he swam the channel or something. He's like, no, actually, I think this is pretty good. And they're like, oh, thank you. Then the next thing he's like, this is pretty good. And he's like, nah, it's not that great.
Jay Rayner is like, for Waxman's thing, he's like, there's not enough crab in here. There's too much spaghetti.
And he's like, it's about the pasta.
It just he was being an asshole. And then if that wasn't enough, then we get the one and only super gay guy.
Yeah, I have that coming up, Bill, because Waxman, he makes like tacos or something. And this
James Osland.
Yeah, Osland, he can't get over how thin or how thick the meat was that he put in there, and he says you need to slice this thinner, and Waxman does not agree with him. But also we have Seuser here, clueless about what tailgating is.
First time tailgating. First time for him. This elimination challenge is really tough to cater. Tailgating party for the USC game. Hardcore football fans in big cars drinking beers at 7 o'clock in the morning. Blah, blah, blah.
The chefs here too today.
No, they're not chefs. They know that that's what they do, tailgating.
But not just us.
No.
Other people
too. No, because they do. This is their culture.
Oh, so you get fed before you go to a game. Now I kind of get this.
Yeah. Jonathan, we'll start with you.
I think I had pretty good fan response.
I really love the guacamole and the New York steak. I thought it was wonderfully cooked.
I found the tortilla itself to be a bit tough and, in fact, cold.
They probably could have been fresh off the grill. But it was really about the New York steak, and that was kind of the dish.
The steak could have been more thinly sliced. It really did overtake the taco for me.
James, I'm telling you right now, I totally disagree with you. You're wrong. It's a tailgating thing. We're not talking about haute cuisine.
It was perfect. You're right. It was the perfect slice.
It's really perfect. I think it brings out the flavor in the steak.
But I think in the context of that taco, that's where it was just kind of off-putting.
I think we're all at
that
with the
juxtaposition of the taco.
He's never had any kind of taco.
He was certainly. Wouldn't it be great if Waxman said that? What the hell do you know about tacos? I can understand if I made a hot dog or something, but I made a taco. You don't know what the hell.
I'm talking about. Some smoked sausage.
I found the tortilla itself to be a bit tough.
Oh, did you? I totally don't like this. I like
my
meat.
Go to Mexico and eat some real, you know, taco or Mexican food.
I'll be like, no, tell you right now, I totally disagree.
If he was in Mexico, he wouldn't partake of the taco.
Context of that taco.
Well, the way he can't even say taco. Taco.
He's like so disgusted when he thinks taco.
It really did overtake the taco for me.
Taco.
Oh, taco.
The correct way you enunciate taco. People don't say it right like me. Taco.
Context of that taco.
All right.
But he loves the sausage.
Yeah. It would have been funny is the other guy, he made like a giant kielbasa. He's like, 10 stars. No, you can't give him 10. You can only give him 5. 10 stars. 10 stars. He gets 10. You can only give him 5. No, no, no. It's like, he loved your sausage, dude. That's all I could say.
Yeah, the sausage.
Wow.
You know, if you see any sock monkeys in there, feel free to knife one.
All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. What do you guys say? Sounds
yes.
Awesome.
Isn't it sort of gross, though, bringing that up?
Mix, mush, you mushing fruit slush, doing the fruit slush, mush. Just mix, mush, eating fruit slush, doing the fruit slush, mush.
New Weiler's Fruit Slush, the mushy, fruity snack made with real fruit juice in a supermarket near Fun Fruit.
Just freeze it till it's frozen, no matter how you mush, it's fun to eat when you mush. Fruit slush, fruit slush, mush, yeah, mix, mush, fruit slush, mush.
Gee, Ronald, my new car turns into a robot.
Great, let's see. Wow, Grimace, did you know I can turn into a McDonald's?
Let me see.
Okay, I'm turning into a McDonald's.
me too.
When you buy McDonald's Happy Meal, you can become the Master Changer, because you'll get a food toy that changes into an amazing robot. 8 different toys, 2 each week. You can collect and change all 8 new food changeables at McDonald's.
Debbie, I got something for you. Crunch and Munch. Oh? You don't know Crunch and Munch? It's an acquired taste. Allow me. Crunch and Munch is fresh roasted peanuts on top of fluffy popcorn and buttery topping on top of that. It's flavor on top of flavor. Mmm.
Oh, Crunch and Munch, my favorite. See, it's your favorite too. Suppose I'll have to share mine.
They're coming. They're wild. They're rascally. Rascals, bite-sized chewy candies.
John, red and green and purple and blue.
Intense fruit flavors.
Never seen anything like them on Earth.
Coming in incredible numbers.
There's just so many of them!
You thought it would never end. Rascals.
I think they're kind of sweet.
Get them before they get you.
Yeah, this is Traffic Copter 1. Looks like Ice Cream Jones is in trouble.
No ice cream cone cereal?
My name's Ice Cream Jones. I'm going to deliver my ice cream cone. A crispy, crunchy cereal for breakfast. With the great taste of ice cream cone. Little cones and puffs that taste like chocolate chip ice cream cones.
Or vanilla.
A crunchy part of this nutritious breakfast. Thanks for the help with the ice cream cone.
That's ice cream cone cereal.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond joy got nuts.
Mounds don't.
Almond joy got rich milk chocolate.
Coconut and Mars nuts too.
Mounds got deep dark chocolate and chewing coconut. Ooh.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you don't.
Ooh. Peter Paul almond joy got nuts.
Peter Paul mounds don't.
Because.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Hello? Crab Company? About your macaroni and cheese.
Hello, Manny.
We think it should be called Kraft Cheese Macaroni, because it tastes the cheesiest.
What'd they say?
They have to change them all your boxes.
Kraft Macaroni and Cheese has more cheese than any other brand. That's why it tastes the best.
There's one. 1 million boxes? I think we're going to need more crayons.
Kraft Cheese and Macaroni, the cheesiest.
Show. I was
a
swan.
Really? Then you got a right to chicken done right.
I make it tender, juicy every bite.
I make fresh hot biscuits
and tasty fresh coleslaw.
You got a right to chicken done right.
Nobody makes chicken like we do with the Colonel's secret blend of herbs and spices.
It's finger looking good.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, we do chicken right.
McGruff here. I want you to learn a song that tells people to say no to drugs. Users are losers, and losers are users. So don't use drugs. Don't use drugs. Winners don't use, and users don't win. So don't use drugs. Don't use drugs. If you know a user, even part of the time, tell them to quit, take a bite out of crime. Users are losers, and losers are users. So don't use drugs, don't use drugs. Okay, everybody. If you know a user even part of the time, tell them to quit, take a bite out of crime. Users are losers, and losers are users. So don't use drugs, don't use drugs. Nice going, now teach it to your mom and dad. dad and brothers and sisters and friends to help take a fight like mine. You rock!
Oh, 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 my best friend and an Oreo cookie. She loves the crunchy chocolate. I like the creamy middle. Been eating them this way since we were very little. We'll always be friends with O-R-E-O. Friends are better when you pair them. Oreos are better when you share them.
Oreo cookies, share them.
Nabisco.
Okay, everybody, come outside. Everybody ready for a wild, wet ride?
Slip and slide. You can put it on your lawn. Turn the water on, then you run, run, run. And you're sliding on your thumb. Slip and slide. Slip and slide.
It's a lot of fun to play when the tray goes all the way.
Slip and slide.
Slip and slide comes with plastic slide and fasteners from Wham-O.
Turn the crank, snap the plank.
Hit the boot and down the shoe.
Watch it roll, hit the pole.
In the tub of rubber dub.
Put the man in the pan.
The trap is set. Now pop the net. Gotcha!
Catch a mouse with mouse traps.
The craziest game you've ever seen. Get the cheese, but don't get trapped.
Mouse on the run.
Little mice on the run.
Raise them just for fun.
I go here, you go there.
Give the mice a little scare.
Watch them go, don't be fun.
The trap is set. Now pop the net.
No!
Catch a mouse with mouse traps.
From Milton Bradley.
It's circus fun, right in your bowl, and you're going to want to come flying. For horses and boots, balls and bears, elephants and lions.
Really?
Horses, boots, balls, bears, elephants and lions. New circus fun cereal. Crunchy red hoops, speckled balls, and many marshmallow animals. Circus fun, a spectacular part of this complete breakfast.
Took a crap and left the stench in the room.
Oh, that's unfortunate. All right, guys, we're back. And we need to talk about some 24. And there are parts
were
of this.
Were you trying to tell Steven something there?
This 24 I thought was a lot of fun. Just kind of move on.
It just, it was like I shot the wheels off and you're trying to recover. It just made me laugh.
Let's talk about Fear Factor. You know, it's funny. You guys kept talking about it. It's like, how am I going to get back to Top Chef?
Sorry.
It's like, they're gone, man. They're talking about Fear Factor.
We're over in left field.
How do I steer this? It's like, take the wheel. U-turn! You guys are in the back.
You too.
You guys are in the back going, oh, shit! Everything, boxes are flipping over and stuff. We're going back to Top Chef Road, you guys.
Why are these guys over here? On this deserted road.
How awesome. I know, because, Bill, we played Army of Two. How could you not think of Army of Two with Jack Bauer's outfit, you know?
Yeah, that the mask and everything was... I didn't think things like that actually existed.
When he pulled it out of the bag and he just kind of, they showed him, look at it.
I love that. And I thought it was cool. I have a clip here of him coming down there. My favorite part about that scene was Logan going, that's Jack Bauer! It's Jack Bauer!
I love that. Like, he knew automatically, like, oh, I'm F.
He was like, shoot him! And my only question is later on when Jack goes to kill all the Russians, why throw that outfit aside?
I don't know.
Just put it in a bag, put it back
Maybe
on.
Maybe he wants them to see his face.
I guess so, but it's just like, leave that on. Aren't you like unstoppable?
Impervious to
you know what?
Much.
He really needs a buddy with him, doesn't he? And they go back to back. That would be awesome.
He needs to keep that in case of a zombie apocalypse.
I know. There's no way he's getting bit in that outfit.
Nope.
But let's go ahead and check this out. This is awesome. And my favorite scene is when you know, he's like, stay in the car, it's armored. And Jack hops up on the hood and he just repeatedly shoots the same spot with a shotgun.
The part that I love the best, he puts the little smoke bomb in and then just puts his foot over the hole.
Yeah. His foot over the hole, like, suck on to this one.
That was awesome. Let's check this out. Oh, dear.
Come in. We're under assault. We're trapped in the 4th Street underground. This is unit LEZ-1 requesting immediate backup. Both entrances are blocked. We are boxed in.
Oh, that's Jack Bauer. That's got to be.
Did you hear what I said? That's Jack Bauer. Don't just sit there. He's coming for me.
Sir, stay in the vehicle. We're armored and the glass is bulletproof.
The assailant is masked. Maybe Jack Bauer.
What you
door.
Think?
Turn the door!
I just love gunplay.
I love that music.
Kill him!
Mr. President,
I'm a sucker for pump shotguns.
Look at me.
I said, look at me.
You're gonna tell me everything I want to know.
Jack, you're making a mistake.
Don't you even try and pretend you're not a part of this. I found the man who killed Renee Walker, the Russian operative Pavel Takharov. I got his cell phone. The last call he got was from you.
I know. It looks like I let me explain.
Explain what? That you sent him to kill me. You sent him to kill me, right?
Yes, damn it, yes.
Why'd you take out a hit on Renee Walker?
I had nothing to do with that. I was brought in after that happened.
Right, you in.
President Taylor didn't my help to bring the Russians back to the table. I called my sources in Moscow. They told me that people in their government were behind Hassan's assassination. I told the Russian delegation I had evidence of that fact in the names of everybody. And what was just to keep at the conference?
Oh, that guy is so great.
He is.
I was playing poker. It was a bluff. It worked. It kept Taylor's peace agreement on the table. But you were determined to screw things up. I admit I was part of the cover-up, but I'm not part of the Russian conspiracy. I had nothing to do with the terrorist attack or your friend's death. I'm not the bad guy here.
You know who is? You know the name of the person inside the Russian government who's giving the orders. I want that name.
Jack.
Give me that name!
Jack.
You got 5 seconds before I put a bullet through your head.
You don't have to do it.
Five.
I'll tell you.
Four.
Mikhail Novikovich! He's the head of the Russian delegation. He's been trying to kill the peace treaty from the start.
You're lying.
No. I'm not lying to you. No. No, you got my call off of Pavel's phone. You checked the previous calls. There's a dozen more from Novikovich. I'm telling you, he's the one you want.
Say another word and I'll drop you right here.
I love just how he's like gave everything up.
it just that sniveling weasel, like Templeton the Rat. I love that.
He was great.
And the way it's so scattered, it's so well acted.
And I love
so good.
Later on, you know, you're kind of like, why did he let him live? But then you learn later on why he did. Because he goes and he kills the Russians. I felt kind of cheated.
No
that
way you live.
We got the post-shootout scene.
Yeah.
And the big skewer through the Russian guy. It's like,
I really hope that maybe they flash back to that in the finale, because I want to see that shit.
But do you guys realize what the funniest part of that scene was? The phone's ringing. I got to call the Russian guy. And you hear camera pans. Dead guys everywhere. Blood everywhere. The guy, he's like, crawls over. His boss has a big pole through his chest. He's dead. He picks up the phone. He holds it up to his ear and he goes, hello? He says, hello. Like, hey, hello?
Help instead of help.
Yeah, it's like, help us. He's just like, hey, what's up?
Hello, Russian consulate. How can I help you?
I'm kind of busy right now, but how may I help you? Can I direct your call somewhere?
I'm bleeding out right now.
I was mortally wounded by Jack Bauer.
It's like, it was Jack Bauer. He killed us all.
Jack Bauer?
That's Jack Bauer over there. Don't you guys know who Jack Bauer is? That's him over there.
Oh, that's Jack Bauer. That's got to be.
That's got to be. It really is.
There's no one else that can be. That has to be Jack Bauer.
Did you hear what I said? That's Jack Bauer.
He's coming for me.
That's Jack effing Bauer.
And I love, like, at the very end, he's, like, talking, and he's kind of more cocky now because he's safe, and he's like, yeah, well, don't worry, president or Russian president guy. He's like, nobody knows. And it pans over and Jack's listening because his collar's bugged.
Yeah.
Didn't you love that? But of course, you have to have Jack wounded so it shows the blood on the wall where he's leaning like, oh, man, he doesn't have much time left.
He's got 2 hours left.
He's got nothing to lose.
He's not going to be able to go back to Michael Madsen with that wound.
Kill him!
And I love how they bring Freddie Prinze back, like, hey, let's give you something to do.
Can they please just get rid of him?
Wow.
Oh, that's Jack Bauer. That's got to be.
You're right. That does got to be.
You know, Zell made a really good point in the chat room. I think that guy would be perfect for Spartacus Blood and Sand.
Yeah, he would.
Get him to be the new Roman kind of evil henchman guy.
Totally, and see him sniveling as a knife is to his throat or something. That would be awesome. I can't wait till that show comes back. I'm actually excited about a 24 finale because I want Jack to take out a bunch of guys. They keep showing that preview where he's got a sniper rifle and he has kind of a smile on his face.
Yeah. I'm going to end this now.
Oh my god, it is kind of like that. Holy shit, the Punisher, isn't it?
It really is.
Did you hear what I said? That's Jack Bauer.
I love that even the president, you know, ex-presidents, main presidents, Jack Bauer, it carries a certain way. Like, holy shit, that guy never gives up. It's like, why would you ever turn that guy against you?
That guy must have a pact with Satan. He's immortal.
He's immortal. I'd say he kills those guys. And I love one guy when he's getting on the elevator, he runs up. Ah! He's got a knife. And he gets Jack. But wasn't Jack stabbed there before the same day? Do you guys remember when he was stabbed by Renee? I guess that's all healed up.
I can't remember.
Wow.
He's fine. That was earlier in the season, but it's the same 24-hour period.
That's like a whole nother time period.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens on 24 and the exciting finale this Monday.
I'm looking forward to it for once. I want to see him go out in a blaze of glory.
I hope they don't cop out. I really want to see him just... This is the series finale.
Let's go friggin' nuts.
It's all over after this. I mean,
yeah, because honestly, do they really honestly think that they're going to make a movie?
Well, here's my problem with that is what story do they have left to tell in a movie?
Yeah.
You know?
Are they going to bring back Alicia Cuthbert?
Are they going to, like, this is the Jack prequel Bauer we've been promising? You know, we're going to send him back to Africa with Robert Carlyle. Oh, no, God, please don't. But it's like, what story do you have to tell us?
Jack Bauer gone rogue.
Yeah, is it going
to
be...
I would beg for my life if they sent him back to Africa.
I mean, here's what they can't do. They can't fake his death. They've already done that. I mean, they could do this, but it'd be lame. They faked his death.
They can't make him go off the grid because he's already done that.
He's already done that. Jack, he's also, remember, he was kidnapped by the Chinese and tortured for years.
Oh, good Lord.
The only thing I can think, here's what they do. He gets captured and he's put in prison and he's a traitor to the country.
But he escapes.
No, we don't even know.
No, they need him.
They actually say that he's going to be put to death. The series ends. People are like, oh my God, Jack, that's how it ends? He's going to be killed? Then the movie comes out. And he escapes, or they need him for something like Sean Connery in The Rock or something. You know?
Yeah.
We need you one last time, and we'll sign these papers. You're free to go. Damn it, Womack.
And then he has to hook up with Stanley Goodspeed. And then whenever they launch the plasma bombs.
He's totally vaporized. Jack Bauer.
Yeah, that can happen.
I'm still telling you, like, we've got to see Jack with a rail gun. That's all I have to say.
Heated rail gun.
With a scope that shows skeletons through it.
So it, like, cauterizes the wound as it passes through.
And there's got to be a part where he shoots crocodiles in a museum. That shit would be awesome.
It would be great if it was, like, the harpoon gun in Bioshock, where whenever you shoot something, they hang on the wall. They shoot them right through the head, and they just dangle on the wall.
I do love Jack Bauer. That's one thing I realized from these last couple of episodes. I mean, he eviscerated someone to get a SIM card, which, you know, yeah. It's practical. He needed the SIM card. He wasn't going to say, I want you to go in that bathroom and don't come out till you pass
that
SIM card.
But this is the Jack Bauer we always loved.
Yeah.
And that we haven't had for how many seasons now?
Right. This whole first part of this season, he was like, I just want to go see my daughter and grandkid. Now he's got nothing to lose because they killed Renee. And that's what I want to see. The nothing to lose Jack.
Yeah, I would like to know how that flip switched that he doesn't care about his daughter or grandchild anymore. He just cares that they took away his woman.
Yeah, he wants justice. And much like Clark, he wants justice, too, for the Kandorians, right? And it's just unfortunate that they don't believe him. They believe Zod.
Mm.
And
well, Zod has a silver tongue.
Yes, he does. Who wouldn't believe him? Even Lois believes he's the blur.
Oh, yeah.
And he's trying to turn Lois against him. But there's this great scene here with the JLA. They make an appearance on a monitor. Yeah, they fly him in for this monitor session here where they're talking about how they're going to attack the Kandorians until Clark shows up and he's like, I've got the Book of Rao here.
Don't worry, Ben.
And I'm going to use it, and I'm going to be saying goodbye to all you guys. So it's going to be awesome. This is a very moving moment, and I love the Clark speech here. Let's check it out. Oh, but we also have to have some smart-ass banter between Hawkman and Green Arrow.
I think we have a little bit more time before the UN gets involved. All our Queen Industry sources say that our military friends believe this is just some hoax. Any new activity?
This is Stargirl online from the nation's capital. No sign of the Kandorians after the attack. Black Canary here. Story's the same in Athens.
All I found in Giza are mummies. We need to flush these aliens out. Now, I've been around long enough to know the best way to win a war is to strike first.
No, that's the best way to win a bowling tournament, Tweety. We're dealing with superpowered soldiers here.
Just as expected, Mr. Green Jeans has gone yellow.
Okay, the Kandorians are Clark's people, so we're not going to take any sort of action until he's with us.
Watchtower's right.
I agree with Hawkman. We wait too long, they'll have the advantage.
I say we hold off until Kal-El has a chance.
How long are we going
to
wait, Martian? Long enough for them to wipe us out?
So we wait, and the Kandorians sit tight till they make their next
move. Symbols say one thing. He wants a fight.
Is this a Cisco?
I say we move now.
They got
going? And cause some pain.
Ellen Page is on the other end.
Cisco router.
Your abilities allow you to come back, Carter. After you die, but what about the others on both sides?
So you want us to play nice?
The Kandorians have been led astray by Zod. I don't want to see them die any more than I want to lose any one of you. I will use the Book of Rao to send them all away. And once I lead my people to another world, I'll never be able to come back.
You need to think about this.
What about your life here? There's got to be another way.
With us by your side, you don't have to do this alone.
Oh,
this
shut up!
That's like unplugged the friggin' thing.
Without a war that no one will win. Once the Kandorians are gone, there will be other threats to mankind. The world will need you. You'll have to work together to become the team that you were meant to be. I once believed that my destiny was here on Earth, but now you need to accept that destiny for me.
We'll protect the world. As one.
It has been my honor to serve alongside each and every one of you.
The honor was ours, Kal-El.
Wow, that's just a moving
moment. What a bunch
of
posturing.
I know, and what's funny is they are not involved in any way in the outcome of the...
The entire thing just comes across so flat, so disingenuous.
Yeah, and they're like, I'm going to turn around and watch the game after this, just hang up. And then, you know, he uses the Book of Rar, and he easily convinces them that... How funny was that part where he's Zod, he's a liar. He actually killed your sister and she had his son, you know, whatever. And he's like, they don't believe you, Clark. You're a liar, whatever. And he leans over, he's like, I really did kill her. And you're right. I am a bad guy. And they're like super hearing like, hey, we heard that. He's like,
oh, I'm so angry. I'm going to rip off my Nazi armband.
It's like, what? They have super hearing. What was he thinking? What?
That's just one of those those like lazy writer moments.
But
like,
didn't you love
how are we going to get this out in
they actually
2 seconds?
Showed Bill the CGI sound waves on their ears like I'm listening to what he's saying. That was hilarious. And then, you know, they're like, well, we're going to join you, Clark. Come, let's go to this new planet and mate the Book of Rar. And he puts it on there, and they all go away.
I hate that they call it a book when it's like a plastic metal piece thing.
The glass octagon of Rar.
The octagon of Rar.
So he puts it down, and they're all zapping away. Luckily, Clark is last in order, right? Yeah. They all go before him, and Zod, he's not going to go because he has blue kryptonite. Holy shit, where did he whip that out of? And he stabs Clark.
I love the like the retroactive continuity with the blue kryptonite.
Yeah, I don't like, even remember what that does.
Blue kryptonite.
Kept you from ascending.
It was, remember, it was the, in Bizarro's world, he was, it took away his power.
Right, okay.
But that's all I remember it being. So I don't remember it taking away any powers of Clark.
It fooled the Book of Rar into not knowing that they were Kryptonian, I guess.
That's what it was. The Book of Rar was confused.
And there was this awesome slow-mo bullet time punch to Clark's face where it was like...
Plug
and you see just his face flabbing with sweat and blood. It's like... Because there was this part, and I laughed my ass off. There's a part earlier when she's like... Hey, I just figured out you're not the blur. You're lying. Lois says that, and he's like, grabs her and throws her in like bullet time. And Clark comes up and he's like, no, and punches him like so hard. He goes just flying through the air. And as he's running to Lois to save him, you can see her still flying in the background.
And I love that he gets her right after her elbow goes through the glass of the phone booth.
Yeah, wouldn't that be shattered still, her elbow? It's like, I know it's a powdered residue, but don't worry, you'll be fine. But I love, basically, Clark is like, okay, I know what to do. I'm going to let him stab me with it because then he'll immediately go away. And I love he, like, stabs Clark, and he's like, aha, I win. And then he's like, oh, wait, and he, like, starts to go up. And I love the look on his face, like, oh, dude!
You fooled me.
And Clark does it, you know, he's got his arms out.
Yeah, the Jesus pose was so bad.
As he was falling, I was like, he did that for me, for all of us. And he's falling. And the first thing I was like,
for all his people.
When the show was over, I was like, awesome Christ imagery.
And so ham-fisted.
And I got on, and Bill, I was talking to you, and you're like, I heard there's Christ imagery in it. It's like, there is. Just wait for the end. It's awesome. So that was funny.
I loved the their low-budget version of the Burly Man fight from Matrix Revolutions.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And didn't you the rain and everything?
Ugh.
That was awesome. That was so, like, Matrix-y, you know, like...
Yeah. Who directed that?
Like, how long ago did The Matrix come out? You guys are still aping that?
Maybe it was Lana Wachowski that directed it.
Mr. Kent! I love that. All right, well, Smallville, can't wait to see you. The big cliffhanger is what got... Ollie in the ventilation thing.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
They're not Kandorians. Oh, they're facehuggers. You know,
it was facehuggers.
Xenomorph. acid for blood. That's the last thing you hear. Okay, guys, let's talk about Fringe. It was the season finale of Fringe, part two of Over There. And I love the Fringe, huh?
Honestly, I was a little disappointed with this episode.
I was bummed out by the outcome more than anything.
I thought it was a cheat. I thought it was way too easy a cheat.
By what they did?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there were some good moments. I love the way it opened with Peter getting kind of like this narration of the different...
That was terrific. I loved like the amber encasements of the fringe spots.
Right. And he was kind of like, where have I seen that before? They used that to seal up things, and it was like a partial wormhole that's still open It's like, whoa, what? And then later on, when Walter and William Bell go to his old lab, or the other Walter's lab, there's people like standing there in, amber. In the amber. Yeah. That was crazy. They use that to seal the shit up. I guess that's what they mean. They're kind of like quarantine. Uh-huh. That goes off and you're just enveloped in it.
They said that there were 10,000 people
Oh, it was Madison Square Garden.
In the
Lockwood
Garden.
What was it? Yeah, Madison Square Garden.
They officially have been declared dead.
Right. That was great.
It's like 10 years.
Well, yeah, I think whenever Amber encases you, you probably die.
Well, they said it had been 10 years.
I think the main thing.
So they officially declared them dead after 10 years of being encased.
But the thing, main thing about this episode is, I guess I was thinking of more of like a movie kind of thing, but really what they were doing was setting up the cliffhanger for next season. So it really wasn't an ending. It was more. I thought they were going to spend more time, and Peter would be on the machine, and then it would end, and what's going to happen?
Yeah, something like that. They made it too easy. And the thing that bothered me the most was Olivia from that side asked Peter what the Olivia from this side is like. And he kind of describes her like he's got, you know, her eyes are different, or, you know, so, little things that only he would notice. But he doesn't notice something's different about the Olivia that came back with him?
Yeah, not yet, apparently. I guess they didn't do much talking. But that's one thing is that they immediately separate as soon as they get there, it seemed like. But
it just seemed very, very easy.
The first episode, how are they not going to find that out? Remember back when Charlie was infiltrated and was a shapeshifter? I was afraid, oh, God, are they going to do the whole season with Charlie there? Luckily, like, the next episode, Olivia figured it out. And that's what I'm hoping they'll do here. But one thing that they've got to do, which I think would be interesting, I don't know if they've got to do it, but Olivia will see that they're not evil like Walter is telling them. They're very bad people. They can't be trusted. And immediately when you're there, it's just like they seem like just people to me.
Yeah.
And
just like us.
I wasn't expecting the moment with Olivia and Peter where he's like, I don't belong here. I don't belong there. And she's like, you do belong there with me. And they kiss. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know this would happen.
Yeah, most shows hold off on that because that's like a jump the shark moment whenever two, you know, the love interest sparks up.
But it felt
that still wasn't the love interest. That was the fake.
No, that was Olivia.
No, that was the fake Olivia. One switched whenever the grenade went off and
they
lost.
That was Olivia, genuinely Olivia. She doesn't get switched until the end when they're at the opera house.
Yeah.
Remember, she's standing there, William Bell is there, and then there's the other Olivia behind her. And then you hear a boom, and then that's when the switch was made. She was most likely knocked unconscious.
She's unconscious.
And what's funny is you see there's one point earlier in the episode when the Walternate tells her, there's something I need you to do for me. Would you do me a favor? And she goes, what's that? Cuts away. Later on, when Olivia shows up in her apartment, they have that conversation. She's like, I can't believe he's right. You did exactly what he said you were going to do, which was he probably said she'll come to you eventually. And so, you know, she dyed her hair and made her look like her. And she went to visit Peter and all that stuff happened. So they were planning on doing that switch the whole time. For what? I don't know. Because we know that they need Peter. Supposedly, they think it's going to at least they're telling Peter, his dad is, that it's going to fix the world. Because what Walter did really caused a lot of shit over there. And I was almost thinking that that can't be true. I'm almost wondering if Walternate tried so hard to get over there, he kept messing shit up really badly.
Right. Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
Because there's a part where they're driving, him and William Bell are driving, and you see the desolate woods and everything. And he's like, did I really cause this? And he goes, yes. I figured him to go, I don't think so, or something like that, but I honestly don't think he did cause all that because that other Walter seems like a real asshole, doesn't he?
Cause it in a sense. It's the him.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you think of it that way, he caused him to turn
out. I honestly don't think Bell would get into that sort of semantics.
But also, like, Bell.
Yes, you did it, but not you, the other you.
Remember, he also says at the very end, he goes, the reason I took out parts of your brain to remove your memory is because you told me to. You didn't like what you were becoming. He could tell the kind of person he was becoming, a monster, mainly like the other one, I'm guessing. But there's this One thing I love about Fringe, though, is that they have all this cool serious stuff and sci-fi and whatever, but Walter always brings the funny, doesn't he? Like this scene here where they go to a KFC in the the alternate parallel universe.
We are fugitives. Double breaded, big crunch, so good. Tastes just like an outside. Wednesday, 1983, and I happen to identify the last of the 11 secret herbs and spices.
Walter. Okay. I think that we should split up. I can look for Peter faster if I'm on my own.
We have a larger problem. Without Mr. Lane and the others, we won't be able to cross back to our side.
Olivia can still open the door. That's her gift, is it not?
I don't know how much of a toll crossing over took on her. You may be able to open a crack. But without the others to enhance your power...
That's it, then.
What?
We need a doorstop. Something to hold the door open where Olivia has already provided a crack. You can build one, Walter.
A doorstop? No. No. For starters, I need a particle accelerator. I don't think they exactly sell those to local drugstores.
No. But I think I know where we can get one.
Oh, of course. I'm sure you opened massive dynamic on this side as well.
As a matter of fact, I did not. Well, I did not have
to get rich and famous while I was rotting away in a panic cell.
Walter, will you please take the rest?
Han, you can work this out another time. Okay, Walter, you build the doorstop if you can. I'm going to go look for Peter. And do you have a cell phone?
They monitor all the communications networks. That's probably how they do them at Central Park. It's safest if we don't try to communicate with one another. We'll meet back at the Opera House in 12 hours. Be careful. We've accomplished a lot together, Walter. But she may be our greatest achievement.
Now, this scene, I think, answers a question that I've already seen people saying about the... Olivia Red, as people are calling her, alternate Olivia. Whereas at the end, they're like, she doesn't have the ability that Olivia has to open the door. That's... How did she go? But they answer right there. We need this power supply to open the already made crack, and the crack is already there. So they didn't actually need her to use her power, is what I believe is he's saying there.
Yeah, that's you're exactly right.
So I've seen a lot of people.
Well, actually, he powered it.
Right, he did, because he had the power of whatever.
A million atomic
but,
bombs.
You know, I love that part where he's like, this is the new 77 blaster or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, that gun reminded me of the gun in, like, I Come in Peace, Bill. was like, but that was Space awesome. Gun. And he's like, these experimental grenades, I've never used them before, concussive grenades. There was a lot I liked about this, but the thing is that, like you, Bill, I thought it ended way too soon, but also, and I understand the cliffhanger, but it's such a bummer of Olivia's locked in this darkened cell and she wants out and Walter's just creepily looking at her through this window. She's like, let me out. I know you can hear me. She's like, just seals it up slowly and she's in the dark. It's kind of sad because I genuinely felt that moment where she declares her love for Peter and that gets him to go with her. And well,
we already know that she can transport on her own.
She's going to
have
to.
The only reason they were afraid she couldn't was because she had used so much of it to go over the first time.
What I'm hoping comes out of this, Bill, is she pulls more power out of herself and realizes more of her potential out of this.
Yeah.
And because I already do think she's a badass and coming into her own. Like, she's really changed a lot over the course of the first and second season. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that she realizes that she can actually go and, you know, travel wherever she wants at will.
She'll probably start jumping over in, like, little spurts to give warnings, you know, or something like that, just to give them an idea that the other one isn't her.
Right, because I honestly, like, we learned from Alias, you can't do mole stories too long. It drives the audience crazy.
Yeah.
I think this happened as a cliffhanger, and it's for the alternate Olivia to learn that she's not being told the truth, I think. And
it's entirely possible.
It's very interesting to know what that Walter wants out of Peter, because you thought at first he needed Peter to run that machine, but if he's willing to let him go to find out some other information, I'm curious what the hell that is going on. So that's
maybe he's just a psycho and doesn't really care about the world.
Right. I want to know what the hell this machine is. I like to have Peter working on the machine. And what kind of strange power does Peter have? We don't know.
Or does Walter want to go over to the other world?
Why does
Walternate want to go over to the other world?
Did they give Peter Cortexafan at some point?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, what the hell? He has some kind of strange ability. And his...
he was experimented on the other side.
But you got to think that...
that's what was killing him.
Remember, I thought
That was a joint thing with Walter and Bell, and right. They didn't work with each other on the other never, side.
But also...
So there wouldn't have been the Cortexafan thing.
I thought about that last week, but also he was dying the whole time, and I don't think that happened. But maybe... maybe Walter did experiments on him, and this Walter experimented on him.
Maybe the
Cortexafan
from this side. Well,
for some reason, Peter has some kind of special ability.
Yeah. We're just gonna have to leave it at that because everything else is speculation.
We're gonna have to wait and see, and I'm excited about that. All right, guys, let's talk about Lost. Next to the last episode, huh?
Yeah,
and I love this episode. I thought it was really good. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was fun.
You know what I especially liked? It felt so much different now. It's so funny. Like, before we saw glimpses of the young blonde boy, and we're like, what the hell is that? Then we get the Across the Sea episode, and then he shows up this week. He's like, hey, I know that kid.
Hey, little Jacob.
He's like, give me my bag of ashes, you punk ass. And I'm like, huh, what the hell? And I think they showed us right there that was Jacob all along. He was just taking on a different form because he's just sitting right there and he's got his ashes. And he's like, as soon as these ashes burn out, you'll never see me again. I thought that was awesome. But I'm kind of skipping it all over the place. But that's the first thing I thought of. You know what I'm saying? And I love there was a moment where Sawyer had a Jack moment. Remember Jack at the beginning of the season, he felt like he caused Juliet's death, and he's like, oh, did I do this or whatever? Sawyer's like, I killed him by my decision. I caused them to die. And he's like, no, you didn't. He did. And I thought that was a good moment there. And the sideways stuff I thought was – there was so much cool going on there, from the Ben stuff to the Desmond, he's got this plan. It seems to all be coming together. Didn't you love that? How he's rounding.
I can't wait to see how that turns out.
That is awesome. And I love when he's beating on Ben, and Ben's having a flash of, this guy's beat me before. He's just beat the shit out of me before. And I just genuinely love the moments with Rousseau and her daughter. And she's like, my daughter's always thought of you as a father figure. He starts getting teary-eyed and stuff. And then showing what's happening on the island with him, with Locke. I love that part with the girl Zoe. I don't know about you guys, but I was like, cuts her throat brutally. It's like, yay. That was fantastic. And he was just so – that moment. This is what I love about Terry O'Quinn. Take the scene where he's talking to Jack in the office, and he's like, I think all this means something. I want you to fix me. I want out of this chair. That moment, he's incredible acting. Cut to him sitting with Ben on the porch. He sits next to him. He's got his knife. And he's like, would you like some lemonade? And he's talking about, Ben, I need you to do something. And he's so scary there, isn't he?
Yes.
He's frightening. Because I expect him to lean over. He's like, gut him right in the stomach or something. He could easily.
Jack Bauer you here in a second.
The one thing that I wonder about is... Ben, he's got to know he can't trust this guy worth a damn. You know, he's doing what he has to do to survive in that very moment. But he's got to know that he's not going to get the island or whatever he's telling him.
Yeah, well, Ben now looks like Saeed. Did you notice, like, that kind of emptiness whenever he shot Whitmore?
Yeah,
just looks like something was sucked out of him. Maybe the Man in Black took his soul. I don't know.
He's talking to Widmore.
It's weird.
Maybe you just have to do that. I feel nothing right now because I have to in order to follow this guy.
Or maybe that's the kind of aura that the man in black projects.
Well, yeah, like, remember, because he talked to him.
He's like, what's your name? She's like, Zoe. He's like, don't say a word to him. So he like cuts her throat and he's like, why did you do that? It's like, if she's not going to talk to me, she's useless. Because I need to be able to talk to her and get her on my side, apparently. Something like that is what I was thinking. But he's telling Widmore to tell him why he came to the island and all this stuff. And he said that, you know, Jacob, he told me the error of my ways and I need to come here. He invited me to the island to do something. I brought Desmond and we're going to do this. And he has these incredible, he can, his ability with electromagnetic, whatever. I almost wonder this. If you took Desmond with, he can't be harmed by electromagnetic whatever it is, energy, right? He could absorb it.
Yeah.
If Desmond went in that glowing cave, what would that what would happen then? Would he absorb?
Well, we don't know if that's electromagnetic energy.
Right, we don't. But I'm wondering if, like, maybe that's Locke's idea. I'm going to throw him in that hole and plug him up with it or something. I don't
plug him up. I'm going to constipate that.
Brother, I'm stuck in here. It's like, you're going to stay stuck. Winnie. Now, we got this part here where Jack and Kate Sawyer and Hugo Hurley, they have a palaver with Jacob. When you, I mean, that's a real description of what happened, right, Bill?
Absolutely. It's right out of The Gunslinger.
Sit down and we'll have a palaver. And he starts decking, he starts, shuffling his tarot cards, Bill.
Tarot cards.
You're the pusher. No, let's check this out. It's pretty awesome. And basically what happens here is Jack volunteers to take the job.
So you're the one who wrote our names on the wall.
I am.
Sun and Jin Kwan and Saeed Jarrah, you wrote their names on the wall?
Yes.
Is that why they're dead?
I'm very sorry.
You're sorry.
Kate?
No, I want to know why. I want to know that Sun and Jin and Saeed didn't die for nothing.
Come and sit down and I'll tell you what they died for. I'll tell you why I chose them. And why I chose you. And then I'll tell you everything you need to know about protecting this island, because by the time that fire burns out, one of you is going to have to start doing it.
I don't really know where to start.
How about with why you brought us to the island? I brought all of you here because I made a mistake. A mistake I made a very long time ago, and now, because of that, there's a very good chance that every single one of you and everyone you've ever cared about is going to die.
What mistake?
You call him the monster. But I'm responsible for what happened to him. I made him that way. And ever since then, he's been trying to kill me. It was only a matter of time before he figured out how, and when he did, someone would have to replace me, and that's why I brought you all here.
Tell me something, Jacob. Why do I got to be punished for your mistake? What made you think you could mess with my life? I was doing just fine till you dragged my ass to this damn rock.
No, you weren't. None of you were. I didn't pluck any of you out of a happy existence. You were all flawed. I chose you because you were like me. You were all alone. You were all looking for something that you couldn't find out there. I chose you because you needed this place as much as it needed you.
Why did you cross my name off of your wall?
Because you became a mother. It was just a line of chalk in a cave. The job is yours if you want it, Kate.
That's an answer.
What is the job?
There's a light at the center of the island. You have to make sure it never goes out. That's how you protect it.
Your monster friend said there was nothing to protect it from.
Yeah. You have to protect it from him. You must do what I couldn't. What I wasn't able to do.
You want us to kill him? Is that even possible?
I hope so, because he is certainly going to try to kill you.
So, how are you going to pick?
I'm not going to pick Hugo. I want you to have the one thing that I was never given. A choice.
And if none of us chooses it?
Then this ends very badly.
I'll do it. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Is that a question, Jack?
No.
Good.
And it's time.
I thought that guy had a God complex before.
I love that line with Sawyer's. But I love that moment where he says, is that a question, Jack? He's like, no. When you're out of questions, it's time. You're enlightened. And remember what Jacob's, or Allison Janney, she wasn't really his mom, she told their mother that one question just leads to more questions. You know, an answer, and then you got another question, another question. He knows that he's ready for this job. He was meant to this job. He doesn't need to hear anymore. He doesn't have any more questions. He doesn't care who the Hurley Bird is or anything like that. And that moment where he says something in Latin or whatever to the water, and then he like scoops it up with a cup and he drinks it. That look on Jack's face, like he's just become enlightened. And he's like, now you're like me. And you know, one theory that I had, I kind of never brought up. I just thought about it as I was watching that episode, is we learned when Jacob was young that he was a horrible liar. Right? It's just like, you can't tell lies. I almost thought that's why he's so cryptic in everything he says, because he can't lie to them. So he'd rather just tell you just a little bit because he's not good at lying. I almost wondered that. But anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. But I'm excited about the finale. Are you guys?
Can't wait. Yeah, you know, it's hard to talk about something that's so damn good with that clip. I was pulled right back into it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely captivated by it.
I went to this New York Times Lost thing where it was Lindelof and Cuse, where they were interviewed by this guy of the New York Times. They did it in multiple theaters and stuff. I went with my dad and sister. It was really fun. And the main thing that I enjoyed about it is just hearing them talk about what a great time they had on the show. And they went out of their way to say what writers were great at writing what characters. Like, this guy was great at writing Ben. These guys, they were our Hurley guys. They're basically saying, you know, this show wasn't just us. It was a group of writers. And so many people, I've heard this, Bill. I don't know if you have, but people will go, I wonder what J.J. Abrams has in store for us in this finale. I just want to go, okay, he did not write this finale, okay? Just want you guys to know that. He's a producer on the show, sure. He's
been hands-off since the first season.
He's nothing to do with it. He may have sat in on meetings and he's on a speakerphone and said, yeah, that's a great idea, guys, go with that or whatever. But you got to know that when you see the writers on the show, those are the guys doing the show right now. And I'm just glad that they went out of their way to give credit to those people.
Yeah, you'll see in a lot of instances, like, I'm going to admit my geekiness here with my Star Wars books. There are certain writers that write characters well.
Right. It could be like their favorite character.
Michael Stackpole is Corran Horn.
Yeah.
You know, it's there are certain characters that
it's also
are owned
one of my favorite
certain writers.
Last names,
much.
Bill, of all time. Stackpole. Great name.
Yes, I know. That is such a great name.
But, you know, when they open the questions at this Lost thing to the crowd there, you know, some questions – I didn't make sense for you to ask a question that there's no way they can answer without giving away stuff on the finale, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is it going to turn out Jacob's evil? Well, can't really answer that. Why don't you just watch the finale and, you know, you can tell us what you think or whatever. But my favorite question is this guy asked. He goes, why must there always be a human presence on the island? And there was like a quiet. And Damon Lindelof said, Because it'd be a really boring show without it. It'd be an island with no one there. He's like,
I love that that guy probably sat there and was like, I wonder, let me come up with a really deep question that'll totally throw them off.
Yeah. Why must there be a human presence on the island? Because...
Wow. Because there wouldn't be a show without people.
It'd be
That's an epic fail if there ever was
it'd
one.
It'd be a tree falling in the woods with no one around. It wouldn't make a sound, right? Huh? Would it make a sound, Steven? I've always wondered this.
Does the Pope shit in the woods?
But Lindelof, he said something great. He goes, I want to credit this guy for asking a question we've never been asked before. And everyone's like, woo! So he didn't have to feel that much of a dipshit, I guess, as he walked away. But the main question I was sitting there, like, what question would I have asked? And it would have been, what mysteries have you already answered and people don't realize that you have?
That's good.
Because I still see people going, they need to answer why there's polar bears on the island. And I keep thinking, didn't they show polar bear cages?
Yeah.
In the Hydra, the zoological station? If you're going to just think about it, they were there, they were studying them, the effects on the island, and they escaped.
Yeah.
That's right. Why they're there. What about the Dharma shark? Why does it have the Dharma logo? I believe they showed the Dharma shark tank on the Hydra thing. Remember Jack was being kept in there? The shark has been released and swimming around the island. Answered. I mean, what do you want? No. I want to see when the shark was delivered there and they stamped it.
I want to know why they stamped
it. They want proof.
Well, you're never going to get that. Well, this is bullshit. I watched a show for this many years, and they're never going to show them stamp the shark? What the hell, man? And my favorite, Bill, I've seen so many people, if they don't answer...
I just love branding shows.
If they don't answer where the food drop came from. Remember the food, the Dharma food came down in a crate. Everyone was like going through the food, and people are like, where did that food come from? I want to know.
Most likely a plane.
Well, here's what I wanted to see on the finale. A giant slingshot with food on it. Just launches it over the island. Oh, there you go. That's all they have to show. But people are like, where did it come from? I want the answer.
It's a giant in the sky pooing it out.
It's like, really? That's the answer you want? I want to know what the
It's manna from heaven.
Yeah, I want to know what happens to the characters and stuff. But okay, I guess we need to know what the food drop is. I mean, sure, people wonder why there were like Egyptian hieroglyphics when the counter went to zero. I'll tell you why. Because it's effing awesome. That's why. There's no other reason other than that. It's a group of geeky writers going, you know, it'd be cool when it counts down. It's got those Egyptian hieroglyphics, and they're like, dude, awesome.
Yeah,
and they go with
it. Always freak me out, man. That would be awesome.
And here's my answer for that. I honestly have this. The scientists who built the Swan Hatch, they've been studying the island everywhere. They've seen these Egyptian markings probably in different spots, right? Mm-hmm. So they honor that as they're building this counter, as they make it, and they have a little bit of sense of humor. They're probably stoners, probably smoking some weed too, wouldn't you think, Bill? Radzinski, he's probably getting high.
They're on an island.
Absolutely.
A little Maui Wowie growing.
Yeah,
there.
They kind of tie it into that, and they put the Egyptian hieroglyphics. Answered. You can figure a lot of these answers to these mysteries out all by yourself.
That island is a perfect place for a nice grow of the... Maui Wowie, as
Jacob,
put it.
just beyond the green bamboo where you landed, Jack, is the largest field of ganja you've ever seen, dude.
Sticky, icky. Smoke the one that grows on top of the light.
One thing those Dharma guys brought is awesome.
Makes it super badass.
The hydroponics, man, from those Dharma guys, it shit rocks. That's one thing those damn hippies brought to this island that was awesome. I just want to see that.
They got it from Walter Bishop.
I want to see this moment in the finale. I mean, I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to even be an answer to a mystery. But I want this moment where I'm hit over the head by something. Well, that's what I love
sure,
on shows.
Well, isn't it when I was watching something this week and they were talking about shows, endings, you know, good show endings and bad show endings. You
right.
know? And we talked about Seinfeld, and they did the Bob Newhart one when he woke up with his Susan Plachette.
Yeah.
And
it was Newhart, and then it ended, and he was in Bob Newhart's show with his old wife. Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, they're like, they were kind of hoping, they're like, okay, we got all these season finales coming up, you know, and they were talking about what would be good and bad, and that the games, you know, it's like they just hope it didn't end up like a Seinfeld where it's just like, eh.
Yeah. Seinfeld probably is one of the most disappointing finales I've ever seen.
Well, you know, I think they did it like that because Seinfeld was a show about nothing, so why not end it on nothing?
Yeah, it was just, well, I don't know, it's like you got sucked in. This is going to be something special, and it really wasn't. So,
right.
And I can almost see that, what's his face, the Curb Your Enthusiasm guy, he wrote
laughing
it like,
his ass off.
He wrote it like that on purpose, I can almost see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing I'm going to do after I watch the Lost finale, I'm going to go to bed and sleep on it before I get on the internet. I'm so angry! This is bullshit! I will blog about this!
I love when people post something about Lost on Twitter or on Facebook because it's like, well, why are you telling me that? What does your opinion matter to me? It's like, oh, well, they said it, so I can now relax.
You know, one thing is, as you're watching these shows, I take a moment to notice just what incredible talent some of these actors are. You know, I'm not thinking, like, why are they wasting time on this scene when they could be getting to a mystery solved? Okay?
I like it to...
Why was Walt special?
Oh, Jesus.
You know, one of their favorites... This was hilarious, is the guy asked him why Aaron was special. And they kind of looked at him, and they were like, are you serious? We got asked that question earlier today. The answer is he's not.
And he's just a kid.
He goes, we thought we answered this. If you remember way back when, the psychic that told Claire that he's special and he must go or whatever, we showed that guy in a later episode to be a fraud where you could put two and two together that, oh, maybe he was just blowing smoke up Claire's ass and he's not special. He was just lying to her. But he said, we'll tell people that, and they'll go, no, why is he special? You know, we want to know. You know, they don't believe you. So answers aren't really efficient. And it's almost like a lot of times answers aren't as cool as the mystery. It really always comes down to that, doesn't it?
Well, or it might be, you know, they're fixated on certain things more than others.
Right. Yeah. Every viewer's got probably something they want to know. If you read, like, I mean, honestly, a lot of books and stuff, something like The Numbers, you can understand what it does as a device in storytelling. It's something mysterious and cool. It doesn't necessarily have an end-all, be-all meaning. It's just something that's really cool to put in the narrative story, the flow of the story, something that you hear repeated, and it's really cool, you know? And I don't ever expect whatever answer they gave to what the numbers are, which is their names on a wall, that was never good enough for anyone. People are like, no, it's got to mean something else. It's like, what if it doesn't? I don't think it does, and you're just going to have to live with that. You just got to – when we watch the finale and it's over, we're going to have to live with how they chose to end the story, much like The Sopranos, how David Chase chose to end that. Unfortunately, a lot of people hated it, but you know
what? I think people, like, they adopt this ownership of a show.
Right, and I can understand that, but at the same time I'm willing to just let it soak in for a while. Like the Battlestar Galactica ending, I didn't hop on the internet immediately. I was just like, I'm going to think about this and, you know, walk around and think about what I just saw.
It you know ended how most, it was supposed to end.
So you and know what the most hated ending was, don't you?
The Sopranos, wasn't
it?
No. What?
St. Elsewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, the autistic kid?
I actually thought that was kind of cool myself.
Yeah, said they felt cheated. You know, people felt cheated
like
because
it never happened.
Yeah, none of it ever
but happened. It was just a device by the writers. I don't know why it has to exist, really, because it never existed. It's just a fictional piece of work. But my favorite is I don't think it was the series finale, but Dynasty, that wedding where it got shot up by guys with Uzis and they killed everyone. Did you ever see that?
I am glad that I've never seen that.
Dude, you look on YouTube, Dynasty Season Finale Massacre. It's awesome. They're having a wedding. Everyone's happy. These guys come in, they're like, it just wasted everybody. Like, you know, Joan Collins getting blown away and all that. It's awesome. And then the next season, I think they're all fine. But it's awesome.
So was it a dream of an autistic child?
Yeah.
That's why I said it was St. Elsewhere, because if we make fun of it occasionally.
What I want to see is everyone on the Lost Island gets killed, and it's...
Oh, that's Jack Bauer. That's got to be.
Jack Bauer, he came to the island.
Comes out of the cave.
I've had enough of this shit. Nobody's answering questions. I'm killing everybody.
Jack Bauer is the light.
That's Jack Bauer.
He comes out of that hole, and he's got his mask on and a machine gun. Oh, that's Jack Bauer. I thought this was a warm glow. It's only warm to the people watching. Not to you, unfortunately.
He kills everyone.
But we'll talk a lot about the finale next week, and then we'll feel like taking a vacation after that. We've been covering Lost since season 2, and that feels like an achievement there. And I got to say, there's a shitload of Lost podcasts on iTunes. There's always a new one springing up, and we're not known for that. Unfortunately, I didn't think to put Lost in Mulberry.
Yeah, really.
Originally, luckily Mick chose that, but I guess people listening to that were like, what the hell is this shit? This has nothing to do with Lost.
But hey, this happens on an island.
Does it? Hey,
Mick. Oof, a bowl's on Lost.
Mick, how does that end? I want answers, damn it, Mick. Enough with the word assure, Mick. What the hell happens on Lost and Mulberry?
Enough livelihood.
But I don't know what else to say, but I love Lost, and I've seen some people get way caught up in everything, but I want to see how they chose to end this. And
I won't be angry about any way they choose to end it, only because I've enjoyed what they've delivered, and right. I don't have an ownership over it. I just enjoy.
I may question, why did they choose for this to happen for this character or whatever? But I don't know. I almost think of it in terms of why the writers made this decision when I watch a show sometimes. You know what I mean? What's great is when you forget all about that and you're totally sucked in and the story is told and it's over and you thought nothing about these are actors in Oahu doing this or whatever. You're totally sucked into the story. And that's what Lost has done a lot, and they've done a great job at it. So I can't wait to see what happens there. And hopefully, Steven, they'll answer where that damn food comes from out of the sky.
That's the main question I want.
Yeah, where does the food come from? I think it'd be funny if they did answer that just to shut people up. The very last shot is
the episode opens with an AC-130 gunship dropping a pallet of Dharma food.
Oh, you know what? Here's what they could have done. In 1977, an airplane doing a food drop. They're like, we lost it or whatever.
It's called the loop or something.
Yeah, and they never say anything else about it. And then, that's where the food came from. It was a plane doing a drop. It got stuck in some kind of time thing. And the food, by the time it reached the island, it was 2004 or whenever.
There you go.
And
you
know what?
Sense.
That's probably what happened. And we don't need an answer now. We figured it out ourselves. And if you told them, if you were there at that thing, it said, I think I know where the food came from. It was a plane back in, what year was it? 77 or whatever?
Yeah.
In the 70s. It got lost in a time loop, and the food didn't actually land till 2004. They would have said, hey, that's good. Go with that.
Good enough.
Bill, you ready to do some news?
I am.
Let's do the news!
In his battle against evil is a talented team of experts, all working together in a secret section of Space Academy.
Yes, we're here in our secret section of Space Academy, Bill, and you're going to read the news.
Why does there have to be a secret section? Why can't it, be an open tourist area of Space Academy?
Yeah, it's like we turn a little vial in the door. All right, come on, guys, in our Space Academy.
A space-age soldier of fortune.
It's the room of requirement at the Space Academy.
It's the Space Age A-Team.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
All right. Lincoln, Nebraska. Neighbors in the Everett near South area called police Friday after they allegedly saw two men with weapons chasing squirrels.
Jack Bauer, that's got to be.
Yeah. The men were allegedly firing at squirrels between 12th and 13th Streets, but they were using old school weaponry.
Oh,
a blow dart gun and a bow and arrow.
Awesome!
Those are some hardcore squirrel hunters.
You know, I had friends, honestly, that I remember they would talk about. They would go, I'm not kidding, I thought it was sick. These people,
blow darting squirrels?
They would know. They would look for cats to shoot with blow darts.
Oh, poor kitties.
Yeah, I thought they were...
I mean, I'm not a cat person. I don't like cats, but I can't harm an animal.
Yeah, why
like
would
that.
You want to harm one? And you almost, I remember telling my dad that, and he goes, they're serial killers, or they're going to be one day.
Yeah, that's how it starts. That's the gateway drug for serial killers.
It's like, hey, we killed a cat. Now let's dissect it. It's like, you went way too far for me. I draw the line at that.
I want to see how it works.
That would be awesome.
So these guys allegedly fired small plastic balls through a blow dart gun, and they used a bow and arrow to try to kill or scare off the creatures. The men were sighted because children were playing in the area. Well, that's just dangerous. Two men told police the bushy-tailed tree dwellers had been chewing through the brake lines on their vehicle.
They were trying to get them to stop.
why didn't they just ask them?
Hey, see that squirrel over there?
Nailed it!
And you see the squirrel like, falls off the line. Yeah! Now let's
dissect it. It stands up and kind of does its death scene.
Oh, grabs his chest. Oh, man, the squirrel will not die. He's really milking this.
A great Geico commercial or something in there with the squirrels chewing the brake lines and the car crashing. I have no idea where this is. Let me see. Mayflower. I'm guessing this is in Massachusetts. Maybe.
What? You're kidding.
No, it's not. What state is this? I have no idea what state this is by looking at the map. It's so confusing. All right. It's Arkansas.
Ah, figures. Let's go shoot us some squirrels, man. Get your gun.
No, this is another story.
All right. Whatever.
But this
still works. Same place as far as I'm concerned.
They're all good old boys.
The guys in Lincoln sound just like the guys in Arkansas.
Nebraska is the same kind of rednecks. No southern drawl, though.
Yeah, you're right. You're dead on right.
It's the weirdest, strangest thing.
I found the tortilla itself to be a bit tough.
Yeah. Oh.
Me too.
I hate tough tacos.
Wow.
All I found in Giza are mummies.
You know what would make this taco so much better? Some sausage.
Waxman, if you made a sausage taco, you'd get 5 stars right now.
How about a pig in a blanket?
But instead, they just show Waxman cock his brow and play that. You're like, huh?
It really did overtake the taco for me.
All right. The Mayflower Police Department of Arkansas conducted a online sting resulting in the arrest of a 25-year-old man Wednesday night for allegedly soliciting sex from a minor.
Oh.
What's best about this isn't the story that he was arrested for wanting to engage in sexual activity with a 13-year-old girl who was actually a cop on the other end of the computer. It's that in his mugshot, he has a t-shirt that says, "You're number one on my to-do list."
What? What did you say?
So I guess he was wearing for the appropriate occasion.
Oh, that's sick.
You know, I know how I'm going to impress this 13-year-old girl. I'm going to wear this shirt. It's going to seduce her.
Are you all right? Dead?
Moving on. A 14-year-old Fairfax County, Washington boy was charged Thursday with shooting into an occupied vehicle and reckless discharge of a weapon after he allegedly fired one shot from a rifle into a Fairfax school bus filled with middle school students Wednesday afternoon.
Holy shit.
The incident happened around 3 in the afternoon. A bus with 31 students from Glasgow Middle School was struck by one bullet, which hit low on the bus's body. The excuse the teenager gave was that he was shooting at birds.
Son of a bitch, you!
He must have thought that school bus was one gigantic yellow bird.
And one of the kids in there was shooting the bird at
him. It's a mutant bird on wheels. Shoot it.
The kid was totally being as smart as shooting at a bird. Flipping me the bird, that is.
I love that the police chief says that they're still attempting to determine whether the shooting at the bus was an intentional act.
He pointed the gun and pulled the trigger. Arrest his ass.
Are you brain dead?
No, I'm
all not. All right. Issaquah, Washington, for the second time in a month, a popular local trail has become the scene of a frightening encounter. A woman now fears she nearly fell victim to a man already wanted by police. I saw his butt. I saw his hair, said Heather Nocitus, who spotted the man while hiking the Tiger Mountain Trail on Sunday afternoon. He's naked, you know. He's naked. Nocitus says the man in the buff surprised her in the woods, then was surprised by her fiancé, who was 50 feet down the trail. The nude man was coming at me. Wasn't like he was coming at me fast or lunging, but he was close enough. A few more steps, disgusting. And he would have been right there. I just didn't know what to do.
It's like a deer in the headlights.
My God, it's a naked man!
He's coming this way!
He's coming this way.
That's a tough
and
one.
He apparently likes tacos. she says the trail was packed.
That's Jack Bauer. That's got to be.
When she spotted the man about a half an hour into the hike, we were like, how bold is it? I think I was more relieved that Dennis was there and it wasn't some woman by herself. I guess Dennis is her fiance. They don't explain
that's
that.
That's Jack Bauer.
I guess on April 24th, there was a woman on the trail by herself that says the man was wearing running gear and surprised the woman by flashing her. So we have a flasher on the Tiger Mountain Trail in Washington. So
it's laughable.
Be warned. He likes showing his junk.
Wow.
I think it's vile.
You know you're really, really drunk whenever you drive into a field and a farmer had to carry you out in the bucket of his tractor.
I'm so embarrassed.
Police said a Maryland man was so drunk how drunk was he? That he had to be, after handcuffed, he had to be carried out in the bucket of a tractor. Southwestern Regional Police.
It's a fun ride right there.
Said Sean Anthony Haught, 36, of Boonesboro, Maryland, had to be pulled to safety after he was nearly run over by his own truck. Now, wow. How do you pull that one off? Did he, like.
About ready to kill you.
How do you do that? I'm just trying to figure out how you run yourself over.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't even have a clue.
Like, what the physics? No, I don't. I want to know what the physics are of that.
Yeah.
How you fall out of your vehicle and then have the vehicle run over you.
Hmm.
I will use the Book of Rao.
Yes, please, Clark, figure this out for us.
The all-wise Book of Rao.
It's been my honor to serve alongside each and every one of you.
Oh, thank you, Clark.
Police Chief Greg Bean said that the man surrendered and collapsed behind his truck, which started to drift back toward him. There we go.
There you go.
I found the tortilla itself to be a bit tough.
Oh, that's just too bad.
Wow, okay.
It really did overtake the taco for me.
You prissy bitch.
It was a taco coup d'etat, if you will.
Oh, and then he puts on sunglasses.
What? What? They need Toby on Top Chef Masters telling all those master chefs his clever things, and they just look at him like, you will never eat in my restaurant again. That would be awesome.
That guy cracks me up. James Osland.
You know, if you see any sock monkeys in there, feel free to knife one.
All right, and that's news for this week. I couldn't find any decent cult news.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news this week.
Yeah, no match for Droid Descartes.
Yeah, those stories
are... I don't think my news is ever a match for Droid Descartes.
Well, they have those shield generators. It's
those
a standoff. Let's slide down the hallway. All right, guys, you ready to do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Let's do some DVDs.
Let's do some DVDs!
HD Blu-ray style and definition! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody! Yikes. Okay. Oh, you know what? That's my new ringtone!
Oh, nice.
Oh, see, too bad there's no bass on the phone. It's going to sound tinny shit.
You know what my ringtone is now?
What?
That Steve the Bandit going, hi-oh! from Borderlands.
Nice.
I found an audio file of it, and I couldn't help myself.
I love that.
So I put that on. So now every time my phone rings, hi-oh!
That'd be a totally kicking ringtone.
After I finish Red Dead Redemption, I'm gonna get back into Borderlands. I gotta level up.
I know, you never gave me that 500 damage sniper rifle.
Yeah, I got a shitload of awesome sniper rifles for you.
Nice.
Come on in here, mother scuzz!
Huh? Oh, Al Pacino's in our game, Bill. He's calling us.
Come on,
we could do co-op. We'll do Mad Moxie's Underdome together.
Sweet.
Well, you ain't coming in!
No, well...
DVDs and Blu-rays for... Did we do the DVD song?
Yeah.
I just did.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I just completely brain farted.
Okay,
I was going through my papers while you did it, I guess. All right, Tuesday, May 25th, 2010. I am going to skip a lot of garbage that normally Harry Knowles would bring up on his DVD column. All these stupid... grindhouse horse shit that nobody buys yet because he says it's cool. Everyone has to see it.
When I was a kid, I used to watch this with my dad on a 16 millimeter projection in a hut in Venezuela.
Now that's a good one. I like that.
What did you say?
All right, we're going to start off with a little comedy. David Cross, Bigger and Blacker-er.
Nice.
This is one of the funniest covers. It's him, and he's black, and it's like he's Stevie Wonder. it's so wrong, yet so funny.
I love David Cross.
Yeah, I like his comedy. His stand-up especially is very funny. There's one bit on this that is one of my favorites called Retardopolis. So I'm very excited to pick this one up.
One of my favorite things he does, I don't know if he does it all the time, but he did on one of his DVDs, Steven. I think you had it and brought it over one time, where he'll walk up to hecklers during the show. He'll go, hold on a second. He'll take his mic and go, now, what was that supposed to mean exactly? He sticks the mic in the mirror, and they're like, he just makes it really stupid in front of everyone. I love that.
When he was in Little Rock, Arkansas, and the kids were yelling, and he was like, yeah, what was that again?
He said something about 9/11. He's like, oh, we deserved it or something. He's like, hold on a second. He goes, what? We deserve 9/11? Hey, do you guys hear this? And he's like, you guys, like, really uncomfortable? He's like, what do you mean by that? He goes, I was just joking, man.
That sucks when you got no anonymity.
Yeah, he's like, I just took away your anonymity, bitch. We all see what you look like. I sounded like Chris Rock there, didn't I, Steven? Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toes.
Stealing my
there,
knows what it tastes like just by looking at it.
I didn't mean to step on your comedic toes there, Steven. I'm sorry. That was wrong.
She needs all her senses to know what her favorite food is.
Let me have the other one again.
No, that's Steven talking Chinese.
That's one of my favorite things ever. Do that one again. I need all my senses so I know that it's my favorite by looking at it.
Awesome.
Great Chris Rock.
All right. Next DVD and Blu-ray is one you're going to run out and get. Dear John with Channing Tatum and Amanda Seyfried.
I take a flamethrower to this place.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
That was
lost
in the theater. Literally
out
a week
the big
ago.
Big guns.
Yeah. That guy, he'll just do anything, won't he?
He really will.
Wow.
I think Mr. the Green last Jeans one he did yellow. Was that dog movie. That Hachi, A Dog's Tale. And it's like an adaptation of that ancient story about the dog that stays at the train station waiting for its master.
Wow.
Master dies and it stays at the train station waiting for him.
Sometimes. That's a hell of a statement.
It sounds like a blast, I know.
That sounds like a movie I'd really want to see.
I mean, I'm looking at his IMDb page, and I can honestly say there isn't a single movie here that I go, oh, yeah, that was really good.
Didn't he do Benny and June? Was that him, Benny and June?
I think he did What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I know.
Right.
But, I mean, that's not exactly the movie I want to put on it because it makes me feel good.
Oh, come on!
I remember liking Benny and June when I saw it.
Yeah, I it's awfully dated now.
Yeah.
It's very 90s.
But who is responsible for that 1600-mile song or whatever? Because they
oh,
really...
those weirdo twin guys.
Yeah, that... Da, 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 da. That song had faded into obscurity, and they were like, hey, let's put this on the soundtrack. Then all of a sudden people are like, what is this song? I like it. And
this is so clever.
Proclaimers, yeah.
I'm going to be 500 miles. Wow.
That's pretty tough.
Must be nice being a one-hit wonder in the late 80s, early 90s.
I think it's vile.
Oh, and they re-recorded the song in 2007 because it really needed to be re-recorded.
Nice. They need to remaster that.
Update it. Yeah.
Yeah. 12 channels. That shit sounded awesome.
They did it in full DTS.
Full DTS. Yeah, that song needs surround sound.
Yeah, no mash for droid, Carl.
That's true, though.
That song.
All
is
right.
No match
next DVD would have to be. Just skipping through garbage here. Sorry. Leverage, the second season.
I like Leverage. I watch it. Yeah. I watched both seasons.
It's one of those shows you can just kind of sit down and watch. Nothing.
Have a good time.
Nothing heavy.
I like the character who's the fighter guy He's the muscle.
He kind of looks like the guy from Danzig.
He looks like the guy who should have played Wolverine. He's like a little runt who's a scrapper.
Yeah, right. He's stubby, but he's muscular.
Because in the comics, Wolverine's a short little dude. But of course, Hugh Jackman was perfect casting. He's a tall guy, and it's just like kind of thrown off. But more like that guy should have been Wolverine, you know?
Yeah. He's got that vibe.
You know, if you see any sock monkeys in there, feel free to knife one.
I'll do that first chance I get. All right, next DVD is a film called Derek Comedy's Mystery Team.
Whoa.
And it's that comedy group.
Oh, I know what this is. I remember reading about it on the website with these group of guys. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all kind of descriptive, really weird. And
this group of guys.
It's a group of guys, Bill. They saw their mystery team.
Yeah, well, they were kid detectives, and now they're 18, and they're still solving child crimes.
Yeah, the crimes are, like, really lame, so, like, who stole my dollar kind of things, you know?
So they see an opportunity to prove they're real detectives and to save the world of sex, crime, and swear words.
I want to know if it's funny, though.
I've heard it's very funny.
Because I'll
they
check
say
it out.
It's like, I think one of the quotes, it says, Encyclopedia Brown meets Napoleon Dynamite meets Ace Ventura.
I liked it until you said Ace Ventura, but I'll check it out.
All righty then.
Fish pizza.
No, it looks funny. I remember watching the trailer thinking it was.
That's a new term, though. If you're going to mix movies like that, you could call it a sushi pizza, right? It's a sushi pizza of different styles or something.
Sushi you know, I'll pizza. Give that one to you.
It's like, what am I going to eat tonight?
Sushi pizza.
did he say shitty pizza?
No, I want to ask you guys a question, and I want you to be totally honest. Who sounds more Asian?
Sushi pizza.
I'm cracking myself up. I mean, who sounds more Asian?
Are you brain dead?
Wow.
I knew.
The sushi pizza guy or a Nemoidian?
What? What did you say?
Oh my god, that's bad.
It really is
that,
bad.
That like makes my toes curl. It just. I just want to pretend they don't exist, the prequels.
Are you up against it now, motherfucker?
This was like the big 30th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back recently, right?
Yeah, totally. I celebrated it myself.
Did you throw yourself a party?
I hung myself upside down and laid my lightsaber in the ground where I couldn't reach it in honor of the movie.
And then you had Emma dress up like a wampa?
Well, it was stupid. Nobody else was here with me, so I was stuck there for a while. And
had the AC on real cold.
It's like, shit, it's freezing in here, and I have no force power, so even if I could pick up that lightsaber, it's not a real one. It wouldn't get me down.
It's just one of those master replica ones.
Help! So I ended up yelling for help boots. For a while. Moon boots. See, that's what you use moon boots for. I can pretend like I'm Luke on Hoth with those.
Man, I love my moon boots. They were like silver and shiny. They're awesome.
Yeah, no mash for droid, Descartes.
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is the adaptation of The Road. Starring Viggo Mortensen and Cody Smit McPhee is the boy. The longer I've kind of like gestated with this film, the more I don't like it because it kind of took the heart out of the book. Right. There's some really important moments in the book that they completely left out of the movie. I mean, just totally.
I always wonder like when people adapt a book. I mean, many people will read a book and get something out of it. Sometimes it's different things to different people. Why are you adapting this if you're going to cut this really good shit out is what I want to know.
Exactly.
I've never understood that.
Well, it's stuff that's so important to the story that there's no reason for it not to be in the film. The film just kind of feels like a it's empty. You know, there's stuff there, but the hardcore.
Is it almost like the gravity of the situation isn't it doesn't weigh on you? Like it,
exactly.
It's like I don't feel the way I did when I read this in the book.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, because
as much
there's
about
moments
the
in the book that are truly frightening that show what people have become.
Right.
You know, in this post-apocalyptic world, and what the father and son are to one another. And this, it's the relationship is not as strong in the film, and a lot of that important, like gravity, is taken out of the travels that they're on.
I think you should go ahead and say the word you really want to say there, Bill.
The gravitas.
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
I can appreciate it for what it is. It's an excellent try. For an excellent book, but it just doesn't measure up. If you're
you'll keep the book.
You really want to experience the road, read the book.
I can't recommend
the book enough.
I've had the road for a while, and other books keep getting stacked on top of it.
Salem's Lot,
I've already got something else I'm going to start reading though. I really want to read Blockade Billy before I read Wolf of the Cow.
Oh, please. You could rip through Blockade Billy in like 3 days.
I could. Doesn't mean I will, though.
Well, I mean, it depends on how long your bathroom session is.
Yeah, I got my...
Quite a while. You know what I'm saying, hey, Steven?
I've been on the toilet reading and my ass has gone numb. Like, my legs start getting cramps. Like, oh,
and left
I
the stench in the room.
I keep the odorizer next to me. I'm not smelling that.
You took a crap.
Yeah, I got the special edition Blockade Billy.
Nice.
Yeah, I picked that up too. I got the first printing and gave it to my dad.
Guess what, Steven? So do I. And it's still sealed up in plastic. I'm never going to read it.
Nice.
It's going to be worth $1 million one day. It's like, wait, the value has just gone down hearing that Bill and Steven also have it. Wait a second. This isn't rare at all. We all have it. Think about
it. Damn it.
It's like, hey, this is really rare. You got to order now. All right. It's like, wait a second.
Did you get the one with the baseball card, Steven?
Yes.
Oh, well, so did I.
I did too. But yeah, I read the book, and you know what?
I found the tortilla itself to be a bit tough.
Exactly.
Isn't it sort of gross, though, bringing that up?
You're
that
right.
So
Trump.
Freaking smarmy.
I look like a gay turtle.
Where's Maggie Gyllenhaal? She's the sad turtle.
Hey, Yertle, where's your shell?
Tell you right now, I totally disagree with you. You're wrong.
Oh, okay.
All right, now I'm skipping a crap load of these horrible grindhouse movies.
We need to flush these aliens
Stagecoach is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray from Criterion. The Blu-ray is probably going to look fantastic. I love black and white movies.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I love old movies that are in HD. But you know what? I don't know why I just thought of this, but recently DirecTV launched some new HD channels, Bill, and one of them is the Hallmark Movie Channel.
Oh, Christ. Why would they waste their bandwidth with that?
Earlier, there was a movie on. I don't know what this is. I don't remember, but Heather was watching it. It was about a donkey who plays football in the with Dick Butkus and Don Knotts. Hell yeah!
Was that?
I was like, "Why are you watching this?"
there is a series of movies.
Francis the Mule.
Yeah, Francis the Talking Mule.
He could
that
kick
I would watch as a kid and just laugh my ass off, and they were horrible.
I turned around at one point. They're like, "Get that donkey off the field." He's like, "He's a member of our team," and I was like,
"That's
wow.
Gus." It's Gus.
Ah,
is what it's called.
But you know what?
It's a Disney movie.
He could kick those field goals, though.
I'm holding out for the Incredible Mr. Limpet.
That's I like that.
The Apple Dumpling Gang.
Oh, that's a good one too. But it's just like, this is why I bought an HD TV to watch Gus.
Man, the hairs really stand out on Gus's ass. It's
laughable.
Gus. I honestly, this came over me that people sat around and did a table read of the script.
Oh, my God.
They're like, I can't wait to get started on Gus.
This is genius. Whoever wrote this, give them $1 million.
It's like a director said, yeah, I would like to make this. This is a story that needs to be told.
I was...
this has to be told.
This has been stewing in my mind for 30 years.
I've been obsessed with the donkey playing football.
That had to be like the precursor to the Air Bud movies and all that stuff.
He sat there at football games, you know, guys kicking field goals. He's like, what if a donkey? Yeah.
Of course, donkey could totally do it.
And of course, you know, he has to face the other way. That's how he kicks a football. So he blindly kicks. So it's even more amazing. Not as only is
the
donkey.
How many times they had to clean up donkey shit?
But I mean, if you think about it,
Wrangler.
A donkey kicking a field goal is pretty amazing. But also, he's not even looking. He's kicking blindly behind him. That's even more amazing.
They have mirrors on his blinders, so he can see behind him.
God, what other actor was in there? I'm trying to remember. God, it was a genius. Awesome flick.
Let me look it up. Okay, Gus.
I'm trying to remember the coach of the football team, and I can't. Because it was all actors I recognize today.
Okay, 1976, Gus. Ed Asner.
Oh, it was Ed Asner. Okay.
Don Knotts, Tim Conway, Dick Van Patten, Bob Crane?
Who's Bob Crane?
Bob Crane.
The Bob Crane from Hogan's Heroes, the porno guy.
Oh, okay.
That's what it takes, the porno guy.
Yeah.
And Johnny Unitas.
Nice.
Yeah, that's
Johnny Unitas. So Dick Butkus wasn't in there? Who was that guy?
No, Dick Butkus, Tom Bosley.
Bosley. Yeah, Bosley. That's the dad Bosley. From Happy Days.
Yeah, the dad from Happy Days. Father, shit. What
Father
was that
Murphy.
Show? Father Murphy. And he was the gnome.
How
David
the hell
the gnome.
Did that show get greenlit? Father Murphy.
David the Gnome was great, though. God, I
don't
that
remember
show.
That, though. David the Gnome.
Oh, yeah. That was on... Well, it was probably way after you actually watched commercials or cartoons on Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay.
That was like my era, like the mid-80s when I was watching cartoons like that. All right. Moving on, Stagecoach, Blu-ray.
Awesome.
Awesome. Oh, and I got Turner Classic Movies in HD on my cable.
Oh, sweet.
I was so happy when I saw that. I mean, most of the movies are still like Academy ratio.
Nice.
So it's not really using up the widescreen, but when they do show something like Ben-Hur or Lawrence of Arabia, it looks gorgeous.
You know, I got to say, when I was a kid, when you're a kid watching your 13-inch TV and a black and white movie come on, and you're like, I don't want to watch this. But there's something so cool about watching it in the aspect ratio it's supposed to be in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're willing to give it a chance, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, next Blu-ray. I just have to mention this one because I've seen it a handful of times, and it's awful every time. Surf Nazis Must Die.
I knew it.
Yeah, someone at Troma Video said, let's remaster this sucker and put it out on Blu-ray.
Wow.
I don't get it.
I remember just watching The Toxic Avenger and being like, I know that it's not for me. I mean, I know it's ridiculous and all that, and whatever it is that makes people laugh when they watch this, it's not making me laugh.
No, I've watched I have watched a ton of Troma movies. And they're so bad that you can't enjoy them.
Right. It's almost like when you see a bad movie, but it's entertaining to watch, it's because they had some genuine, I don't know what, they wanted to make it good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the fact that these guys are making bad movies on purpose or
just
whatever.
Just to make, that's a big comparison between movies from Troma and movies from like a director like Don Doler. Who was known in Baltimore for his monster movies, his, you know, the crazy low budget he thought he was making great movies, and that comes through whenever you see something like that, that it's so awful and so poorly done, but right. There's this certain charm to it.
Like when you watch a movie like Gymkata, you know they were trying to make a badass karate movie, you know. Gymnastics karate, and it's horrible,
really, really hard.
And you watch it, and it's hilarious because it's so effing bad. But the Troma guys are like, let's put our money into this shitty movie. I mean, it's great that they have their own like production or whatever production house.
I don't know that it's great that they have.
But I mean, there's an audience for it, I guess, and they've been able to do it a long time. But I'm just not in on the joke.
I just think that, you know, whenever you have a scene that it's a guy kicking the shit out of people from a pommel horse in the middle of a cannibal town.
It was the land of the crazies, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, what in the – or village of the crazies.
And I like they never charge them all at once. It's one at a time. Like, oh, I'm going to try this stuff. Okay, I'm going to go.
And there's just so much bad in that movie.
Gymkata. It's also one of the greatest titles.
I still just love that they had a pommel horse in the middle of the village.
It's a good thing, too. Was it like a well with pommel horse handles or something?
I think it was just a stone with pommel horse handles.
It's like, I wonder what this is for.
It's for the crazies to practice their pommel horse.
Pommel horsey. Yeah, you know, my daughter's
they're,
in like
they're going to try to qualify for the Olympics next year.
My daughter does gymnastics type stuff, and the instructor did the pommel horse one time, and they're all like, wow. And my brain, the way it works, is like, Gymkata. I pictured my daughter and all the other little kids charging like, him one at
dude,
a time.
You're no Kurt Thomas.
It's like, you son of a bitch, you're kicking all the kids in the head. They're like, get him! And he's like,
makes me think of that that viral video of the guy breakdancing, and he hits that little girl in the head. Oh, yeah. She goes flying across the screen.
You know, there's a scene in the Toxic Avenger where these thugs or something are running over a little kid on his bike for fun. And he keeps, like, getting bloodier and bloodier, and it's supposed to be funny. And I remember just, I don't know what age I was when I saw it, I was genuinely disturbed by it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was funny. I was just like,
no, it's gross.
This is sick shit.
It's the same people who like the killing movies.
The Faces,
the
of,
faces
death.
Of Death. Yeah.
Oh. And I've gone into on the show having to watch that before. It just, I know it was all fake.
Yeah.
But still,
I could do a show on Faces of Death. Yeah,
the one that bothered me the most was the monkey in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Where they gave everyone a mallet.
Yeah, and the
it's like
person's
spinning
like,
around in that cage on the table, and oh,
remember the person hits it, and the blood kind of splatters on the other guy's face, and they're kind of like, like nervous laughter or whatever.
Well, like the woman who was like kind of getting the most kick out of it won't eat the brain.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm not gonna do that.
My favorite,
I'll beat the shit out of it, but I'm not gonna eat it.
When you realize that it's all staged, it's kind of different though. I'll never forget the bear attack.
Yes,
the fact that a guy's out there filming a bear. The bear attacks him, and the camera falls down. And all of a sudden, it cuts to another camera filming that. It's like, wait. Where'd this camera two come from?
Yeah. Was that the one with the guy in the electric chair?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, is the alligator had gotten into the little local lake around the housing development. And the reporter's, like, talking about it, and the guy's trying to fish him out. And he gets pulled in! Oh! That was staged.
Do you think?
Really?
I think it was staged.
No one's afraid to share their opinion here.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, on Lost, when Ben shoots Widmore, is it bad that I was like, that's an awesome thud after a gunshot sound? And I was like, I got to pull that.
They got some great Foley artists on that show.
Listen to that. He fell like a sack of potatoes. I was like, awesome. They do have great sound effects on Lost. That's one thing I love about Lost. Awesome sound.
Design. All right, and last DVD and Blu-ray, True Blood, the complete second season, I would say skip it.
I would say watch it up to, how many episodes are in a season, Bill?
13.
Watch it up until episode 8. Now, whenever
Watch it up until Tara
gets possessed by...
Even
before that.
No, watch it until the episode when the one vampire stands in the sunlight. That guy. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, Godfrey.
After that, or was it Godrick?
Godrick.
After that Godrick scene, then turn it off. Because they spend way too much time with what's her name?
Yeah.
Marianne. Or do this. After the Godrick episode, skip to the last episode. Because it's all filler in between there.
Well, even the last episode dragged on and on and on with the Marianne stuff.
I just remember... At the finale, Bill, when everything's over and then they went back to normal life and the characters just coming to and from and talking and stuff, I was like, this is what we like about the show, not all that other mumbo-jumbo shit. We like their everyday lives and how they deal with that stuff. We don't need
all
this.
My favorite was when Eggs just gets shot out of nowhere.
That was crazy. It was almost like...
I mean, I hated the character Eggs to begin with, but to... kill him off like that, it just felt cheap.
That felt like a Nikki and Paulo moment, like on Lost. They're like, we gotta get rid of this character, man. You know what I mean? Like, we've made a mistake, just get rid of him. And I forgot about the weight of that moment, though, on the show, the character of Jason Stackhouse. I'm really excited about the next season. I've watched a few of those little mini webisodes, and they're entertaining and stuff.
The only one I watched was whenever they were auditioning for a new stripper at Fantasia.
Yeah, I've watched the one with the redheaded vampire chick and stuff. But I really like True Blood. I just thought that they really just steered the wrong path at the end of that second season. The first part with the Dallas stuff and Jason Stackhouse... with the crazy Newland
church.
Sun. I loved all that stuff. It was just the Marianne stuff. Not good.
Somebody needs to do a fan edit of True Blood Season 2.
They cut out all the Marianne stuff. I would totally like that. Wouldn't you, Steven?
Yeah.
Mr. Green Jeans has gone yellow.
But they can leave in the nonsensical shit with the, like, appearing as a pig or with a pig. Just be like, what? What's that? Did I just see that?
And you know what? True Blood looks gorgeous in HD.
Yes, it does. And that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs. And I must say, Bill, week after week, you always do a bang-up job doing the DVDs.
Thank you. That means a lot.
What do you think, Steven?
He does an awesome job. He knows his stuff there.
Well, he does. I'm looking for the next limited edition from Cemetery Dance right now, so I can get it before you get it.
No,
I'm doing it right now.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
No problem.
I thought that guy had a god complex before.
Thank you. Good night. We can try the veal and.
Thank you.
right, everybody. That was episode 203 of Nowhere in Mulberry. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better leave some feedback. I'm going to be pissed. I'm thinking about taking a summer break after our next show. After we're done talking about Lost forever, Bill, we're taking a break. I'm going to play me some Red Dead Redemption.
That's right.
Who knows when we'll be back. And I'm not feeling the love in the forum, Bill. Not feeling it on Facebook or Twitter, Steven. It's not enough. They're like, hey, they made it past 200, and we congratulate them. All right, let's go back to...
Yeah, we get, what, 13 voicemails and then two.
No, I want to know what you think about each episode. You know?
Yeah. Pick something. Go, you know what? I liked what they said there. You know what? No, I don't agree. Something. Anything.
Right. Would you ever eat sushi pizza? That's what I want to know. Right, Steven?
Sushi pizza.
I'd give it a shot.
Are you brain dead?
Yes, I am.
I gotta love the Nemoidians. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You'll find a link to Mulberry Old School, and you'll find a link to the forum. Also, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. That's the email. Send me an email. I'll forward it to Steven and Bill, and we'll read it together at the same time. We'll feel a warm glow.
At the center of the island.
Yes. Well, this must be what the island feels like, bathed in praise.
Acceptance, praise.
That's what
Kudos.
It is. Oh. I'd also like you to call 1206-202-3491 right now and leave a voicemail as Julia Child. No, wait, don't do that.
Please don't ever do that again.
Seriously, whoever sent that, thank you. I just don't understand.
Yeah. We're just going to leave it alone.
But if anyone else would like to leave a voicemail, do that.
Anyone else. that person.
Or at nimpodcast@gmail.com, send an MP3 of your voice. It'd be awesome. But, you know, I was just thinking that it'd be good to finally do one of those Dark Tower shows, Bill. But I don't know. Not too motivated. Not feeling the love. You know what I'm saying? It's just not working for me.
You know, it's sad because I've got all this Wizard and Glass knowledge in my head. I need to get it out.
You know how badly I've wanted to talk about all of the 13 Wizard's Glasses with you?
I just want to talk about Merlin's grapefruit.
I want to talk about the witch of the coos.
Rhea of the coos.
And her horrible Ermot. I want to talk about that stuff. Ermot. I want to talk about Cuthbert and Alain and Will Dearborn.
Yes. And the big coffin hunters.
And the stuffy guys. Come on, Bill. I really want to talk about that, and we will soon. I promise. Mm-hmm. Just leave us some feedback. That's all I got to say. Because I don't know. I've got a side job here, and I don't know if you guys know about this.
Jason of Star Command.
That's right.
You're going to start dedicating yourself to that.
I don't do that job alone, though, Bill.
Aiding Jason in his battle against evil is a talented team of experts, all working together in a secret section of Space Academy.
We have anthropologist PCC Steven.
Yay.
And asteroid expert Mulberry Bill. He says a team of experts, but he doesn't say what the hell they're experts of.
They're just experts of experts.
Expert plate spinner. It's like, yes, I can spin plates. It's like, we're in space, dude. What the hell is that going to help with anything?
Expert sword swallower.
I can peel grapefruits in an instant.
I can spin plates on a dowel rod.
It's like, this isn't really helpful.
Kathy Lee Crosby, I'm awesome.
Why are Jason and those guys always disappearing in that side of the space station? What the hell are they doing over there at Space Academy?
He can skewer space squirrels with a blow dart gun.
It's a secret part. Interesting.
You don't want to go in there uninvited. You might not even want to go in there invited.
I remember as a kid watching that, and I remember some aliens that look like spaghetti. I got to look on YouTube.
Spaghetti?
They're like spaghetti or sketty monsters.
Sketty monsters.
And they look just like pasta dudes. And they're like...
Mopples.
Yeah, they're like mop dolls, mopples. And they would
Are
have
they
their
the flying spaghetti monster.
They'd have their shitty plastic laser guns shooting at them.
Pull out their mop doll spot.
You know, there was a complete DVD release of the show.
Oh, nice!
It's actually got like a half hour documentary.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How did you feel making the show? Like a loser, man. The show sucked. But you know what? Horrible. I was doing a space show for Saturday morning. There was no budget. We had models swinging around in front of a blanket, okay? But seriously, they did quite a good job.
It just looks really, really lame.
It really does. The best part about it is, honestly, the announcer at the beginning of the show.
Jason of Star Command.
Awesome.
A space-age soldier of fortune.
Space Age Soldier of Fortune. Awesome.
I think it would have been better as a cartoon.
I know. Do it as a cartoon. I mean, come on. Why not? Bastards.
Plastic models on strings.
Now, Bill, we're also going to be playing Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Yeah.
The Onslaught. Because it's
be fun.
You and three other buddies playing against AI in the game. And I thought the AI was really good in the game and tough at times.
Yeah, it was. And they were good because they would flank you and shit. There was some...
It's a lot of fun. You know, yeah. I always thought... I honestly loved Halo... was it Halo 3? Halo 3?
Yeah.
Halo 3, playing it with you, where you could play the storyline against the AI of the aliens and stuff.
Yeah, and it was up to four guys.
Yeah, it was more fun doing that than actually multiplayer for me. I know a lot of people...
I wasn't
disagree.
A big multiplayer guy, but I really loved the story co-op.
Well, I would play it for a while and realize, you know, Bad Company is just more fun for me than this crap.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to have fun playing that. But
yeah, we're going to go back to some Bad Company and finish up Borderlands and play some Red Dead Redemption once you finish this single player.
Because I want to be a gunslinger in that.
It's fun.
We need to form
it's
up a
quartet. It's definitely fun. Oh, and I looked. You were worried about the aiming system. And there's actually three levels of an aiming system. There's casual, which is pretty much just lock on everything.
Right.
There's normal, which is kind of an assist lock-on, and then there's expert, which you control yourself. So there's three options for you there that'll be fine.
Nice. Cool.
So, yeah.
I can't wait to check that out. All right, guys, what do you say? Well, we'll turn in for the night, and we'll see you guys next week. The Lost series finale. The Celebrity Apprentice series finale.
The Nowhere in Mulberry season finale.
The Nowhere Mulberry series finale or season finale. I'm going to let the audience decide, Bill.
We're going to start teasing them again.
The 24 series finale and other stuff. And hopefully the good guy stays on long enough to get some more drops out of it. Because so far, I love what I saw of it. It's
I can't wait to see what else the Bradley Whitford character doesn't like.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in DNA, and he doesn't like computers. He doesn't trust them. Awesome.
You know, if you see any sock monkeys in there, feel free to knife one.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
It's been my honor to serve alongside each and every one of you.
Oh, thank you,
what
Clark.
An ass kiss.
Now this is podcasting.
Oh, that's Jack Bauer. That's got to be.
Did you hear what I said? That's Jack Bauer!
What? What did you say?
That's Jack Bauer!
I knew it.
Kill him!
Sir, gun up the ventilation shaft.
Come on in here, motherfuckers! You think you're big time?
Well, no, but I don't...